If you're looking for a place to shop that's honest and genuine, check out Amazon.com. You'll never feel like it hurts when you start your shopping at robasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who just voted 10 times for Sprint Fan Favorite Award for Tata the Bushman, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. Actually, today, Rob has a Toddcast. Yes, we have a great Survivor recap episode coming up for you, and we will talk to the winner of Survivor China, the man who they say had the best jury performance out of anybody who's ever done it before, Todd Herzog. We'll talk to him later on in this show. We'll also talk to Nicole. We've got a game. We've got a lot of fun stuff. It's going to be sort of a jam-packed show. I don't know why I put so much stuff in this show when we've got the Survivor finale coming up. Hopefully you guys can listen to it all before the finale on Sunday night. We had a lot of great Survivor stuff over the last 24 hours. Starting it off with the Survivor know-it-alls with Stephen Fishback, we had a lot of big decisions to discuss. We had to talk about what happened with the reward challenge. Did Brenda make the right decision? Did Dawn make the right decision? What was Brenda doing with the immunity challenge? So a lot there to talk about. Had a great show with Stephen Fishback, as per usual. And then this morning, I spoke with Brenda, who was still upset about the whole thing. Did not sit well with her yet. It was sort of sitting in her stomach a little bit like a hot dog that maybe Cochran's dad left on the grill a little too long. It just was still not exactly moving on, but Brenda took it in stride. She had a positive attitude. And so very good listen, I would say, my interview with Brenda about everything. And then after this show, yeah, we've got this recap coming up with Todd, but then Sunday night, Stephen Fishback and I are going to be where else? Live, right where you want us, after the Survivor finale, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, a new Survivor champion will be crowned. We will talk about everything that went down, and of course, with the live reunion show, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, Stephen Fishback and I. If you want to watch us live, you will either go to robasawebsite.com or you could watch us on YouTube. And if you subscribe to our channel, you could watch it there. If you go directly to robasawebsite.com/YouTube, go to the YouTube channel and you can get it there as well. Sunday night, very, very exciting. It's always a fun show. We'll be tweeting. We'll be getting ready to go live with Stephen. It'll be a great night on Sunday night. So if you want to make sure you don't miss any of these podcasts, you can make sure you're subscribed on iTunes when you go to robasawebsite.com/iTunes. And we always appreciate it when you give us your feedback, give us some comments and 5-star ratings. All that stuff really, really helps us out. All right, everybody, I have a very special treat for everybody on the show today that we are going to talk to a guy who had been the record holder for the, or now it holds a record of the longest hiatus in between appearances on Rob Has a Podcast. It has been over 3 years since we last talked to this guy. He is the winner of Survivor China, and who better to talk to as we are starting to look ahead to a final tribal council this weekend. Here he is, Mr. Todd Herzog.
Hello.
Todd, how are you? Yeah, I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm fantastic, thank you.
Yes, Todd, did you know you were the holder of this record now?
No, I had no idea.
Yes.
But I'm pretty excited to be back. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I was listening to the podcast that we did back in 2010. We actually talked to Todd. Do you remember what episode it was?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
2010.
I didn't.
No, I remember I was sitting in the parking lot in my car talking to you because I had just gone tanning.
Whoa.
That's all I remember.
All right. So we talked to you. It was actually a very historic night. We talked to you. It was the night. It was a double tribal council in Heroes versus Villains. James was voted out in the one tribal council. And then it was the famous Tyson switching his vote tribal council
from Heroes versus
Villains. Yes.
I was going to say something to do with Tyson, but I felt like Talking Chins is too far away. So,
yeah.
Yes.
So big show that night. And another big show last night. Really crazy stuff that was going on. A very wild second half to this season. And we had Dawn turning her back on Brenda last night. Were you sad for Brenda?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I was. I really don't know exactly what I think about it because I really do like Brenda, but I also like Dawn. So it was really confusing because I feel like Dawn made the right move because Brenda probably could have won the entire game. But it just kind of made her look like a total bitch, you know, even though she's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so bizarre.
Well, Dawn is, I'm sure, very near and dear to your heart. All of you Utah survivors stick together, correct?
Yes, we're a Utah survivor clan. That's how we work.
Yeah. So you have to be rooting for Dawn. And Dawn has taken a lot of abuse on social media, and a lot of people are upset with Dawn today.
You know, I understand exactly why people are upset with Dawn. At the same time, I have to say, you know, what if anybody else in the entire game were to do the same thing as Dawn? They probably wouldn't hate as much on that person as they do Dawn, because she's supposed to be the BYU Good Mormon Housewife. And it just doesn't, it's just rough. I don't know. I feel really bad for Dawn, honestly, because she's out there trying to play a game. She's trying to win $1 million, and she's doing everything she can to get there. But you know, if she makes one move that seems strategic, but she's lying about it, it's like a slap in everybody's face in a way, you know?
You know, I think I thought about this today because a lot of people have asked, well, you know, why is Dawn getting such a tough time from people when we've seen a lot of players, whether it's a Boston Rob, whether it's, you know, go down the list. Lots of players have done things probably much worse than what Dawn did to Brenda. And in fairness, Dawn was the one person who didn't get a family visit from Brenda. So you can't even say that, oh, she got it to see her family or anything like that. And I kind of feel like it's people feel like if you're going to be the person who is going to be crying all the time, if you're going to be the person who's the most sensitive, then you can't also get to be the person who is the backstabber. Because, like, let's say if, like, Russell Hance, for instance, stabs you in the back. At the end of the day, say, okay, you know what? I got what I expected. I'm dealing with Russell Hance here. But when the person
right.
who you are showing compassion to are the person that you're saying, okay, well, I have to take it easy on this person because I know how sensitive they are. When that person then stabs you in the back, then they don't get the same courtesy, I guess. Then you say, okay, well, what am I going to do? This person screwed me over.
You know, that's so true. It really, really is because I really don't even know what to say about it because Dawn is she's a strong player, really. You know, she's fit and she does well in challenges and she has made the right alliances. But because she's so sweet and so nice, when she makes friends and then she has to go and vote them off, she automatically looks like the bitch. And in reality, you and I both know this is a game
mm-hmm.
where you do have to do that, you know? If she were to go up against Brenda in the final three, clearly Brenda would win because Brenda has been so sweet and so honest and so nice throughout the game. And she's great at challenges. So I feel bad for Dawn because she really has put herself in a situation where now she is not only the Good Mormon Housewife, but she's the Good Mormon Housewife backstabbing liar. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know. It's so tricky. I really don't understand exactly where I should stand on it, but I guess I'm biased because I'd be left on.
And I'm not saying any of this is fair either. You know, it's like
right.
just because you come into the game and you talk about your kids and you have this great story and, you know, people feel compassion towards you because you have this great story, The problem is that people are kinder to you because you have this great backstory, and because they feel like you're a sensitive person. People are taking it easy on you. But when you are, you know, ungrateful for their kindness, maybe, is that a fair thing to say? Then that's when people have shown Dawn kindness because of who she is and how sensitive she is. And I think that's where it becomes a disconnect, where if Dawn says, hey, how come I can't do this? How come Malcolm could do this? How come, you know, how come Boston Rob could do this? How come Kim Spradlin could do this? It's a little bit of a different scenario.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, in all honesty, after last night, Dawn kind of, in my opinion, shot herself in the foot, because even if Brenda was on the jury without Dawn's vote, I think that Dawn had a really good chance of winning. But now that, you know, Brenda's out there, that's, I mean, she's really screwed, in all honesty, because you can't say like, oh, hey, we were best friends. You helped me out in so many situations. We were by each other's side the whole time. And then you backstabbed your best friend. That's saying a lot to a jury, especially when they're all bitter for being voted out, you know?
I think that Dawn is sort of in a bad situation in that I don't know if she could have beaten Brenda, but I don't know if she can beat Cochran. So I kind of feel like unless her next move is to get rid of Cochran also and say, hey, I'm just, you know, the cold-blooded killer this season, you got to vote for me. I'm not sure if she could have beaten either of these guys.
Well, and honestly, in her final tribal council, there's no way she's going to be able to, like, out-talk Cochran. You know, Cochran, in my opinion, if he gets to the end, he's going to, you know, word it in a way where he makes himself sound like a genius, like he's some sort of survivor god, and really work the jury to make them want to vote for him.
Well, I'm glad you bring this up, because I would say that your biggest claim to fame on Survivor, and tell me if I'm off on this, is that people say about you, you are the guy who did the best with the final tribal council that anybody has ever done before. Is that fair to say? Is that what people most know you for?
That's what I get told the most, yes. And I appreciate it because it makes me so happy, even though I didn't realize that's the case. So, yes.
And I will even say that before we talked, I went back and looked on YouTube and I watched your final tribal council, and I watched when John Robert came to talk to you and asked about why did you get rid of me, and he was all angry, and by the time that he was sitting down, he was like all confused, and he was ready to vote for you, and James was cracking up, said, oh my God, he shut him up. And that was a great moment. So now, do you feel like in Cochran, who is also a person who is a big fan of the show, like you were, and also maybe an unlikely person to get to the end of the game, I would say like you were. Is that fair as well? Were you a lot of people's pick to win your season?
Oh, man. It's a tricky situation because I do love Cochran. I think that he's a great player, and I appreciate the fact that he's a fan of the show. Like you and I both, you know, we both love the show. So to see him play the second time around, it's completely different in my opinion, because it's almost as if he's a little bit arrogant and cocky about it, but he's doing something right.
Okay. Well, this is very interesting. All right. So do you think, see, I was expecting you to be, come along here and say that you think absolutely Cochran is going to, that he is cut from the same cloth, and I think he's going to knock it out of the park this weekend if he can get to the final three, but you think that maybe there could be some chinks in the armor?
I think the chinks in the armor definitely would be the fact that he, in a way, is almost acting as if he owns the game. And I won't lie, he is owning the game right now, and he's very, very good at it. I just get a little frustrated when I watch him and I'm like, oh my gosh, you really are trying so hard to be almost Boston Rob-esque, you know, like where he is owning the show. And I appreciate that. But at the same time, it's like, calm it down and be Cochran that we always knew, which was kind of fun and nerdy instead of like cocky and arrogant, you know?
Interesting. So you feel like Cochran has gotten away from himself in a bit.
I do, definitely, yes.
Is he turned into something that his mom would be afraid of if she saw him? Because she saw him last night.
I mean, even when Jeff said, look at Cochran not wearing his t-shirt anymore, I was like, okay, see, look, he's stepping out of his box. I give him props for stepping out. I do. I really think he's playing an amazing game, and I would not say that he is undeserving of the win, because he definitely does deserve to win. I just am confused because he is not the same Cochran that we always knew.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that he would be able to do well with the jury in the final tribal council? Do you think he has what it takes to be a Todd in the jury? Now, I don't mean to say that he could do as well, but does he have what it takes to win over some people who might be a little upset with him?
I think so, yes. I think that he is very, very, very good with his words, and he knows exactly the way to put it to make people smile. And it's one moment in your life where you get the chance to try to persuade somebody, and they don't have time to think about it. And so if he persuades them and they think, oh, wow, he's right, they vote his name, it's done. You know, they didn't get to watch the entire season. They don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And he's done a really good job at keeping everything very Cochran, you know, like he's just doing what he's doing. And I have to give mad props for that. He's playing a fantastic game.
I also feel like he does not have a lot of blood directly on his hands. I mean, go down the people that are on the jury. How many of them are walking out of the game saying, oh, man, Cochran really screwed me over? I mean, other than Andrea, I don't think there's another person
exactly that
you could say he has a lot of blood on his hands. And I think that is very good. And I think he can also take credit for being the strategic person behind all these operations, and he doesn't have a lot of blood on his hands, which is very tough to do.
It's so true, though. I mean, he really is very good. He keeps all of his like personal thoughts for confessionals, which is amazing because we viewers get to watch what he's thinking and feeling, but he doesn't put that out there in the game, and that's what you have to do. And he's done such a good job at it that it just blows my mind. I'm like, wow, you really are good at keeping secrets and your thoughts to yourself, but playing the game in person with these people and then telling all of us viewers the truth when you're alone. To me, I'm like, damn, good job, boy. Like, you really do deserve this, yet it still pisses me off some. I don't know why. It really kind of pisses me off, though.
I think he also has benefited from the fact that there was like this whole Three Amigos versus Stealth R Us battle that took place in the first part of After the Merge, where Michael went out because of that, and then Malcolm went out, and Philip went out. And I don't feel like a lot of those people really blame Cochran for them going out in the game. Maybe Malcolm to a degree, but I feel like he's positioned well. And I also just don't know if there's anybody else that could win the game. Do you see anybody else that could possibly win? I feel like coming into this finale that we're almost looking at almost like a Kim Spradlin or a Boston Rob, where I just don't see any other contenders.
No, I completely agree with you. I think that he has lined himself up so well that he probably will win this game on Sunday. I mean, and he deserves it because he definitely played a very, very good game. As far as who's left, I mean, there's no way Eddie would ever win. Sherry will never win.
Well, you know, Eddie is the one that it's starting to, you could start to make an interesting case for Eddie. And I, you know, it's even saying it out loud, it sounds crazy. But in, you know, looking at some of the people that are on the jury, I mean, if he still has two amigos on the jury. And, you know, if Andrea wants to give an FU to Cochran, and that was her sort of flirtmance going on there, it's not out of the question that Eddie could vote for or Andrea could vote for Eddie. And Michael was with the amigos at one point, so he's in play also.
Right.
I mean, the guy probably can't put a sentence together in the final tribal council, but couldn't he? Could he be a Fabio here at the end if he wins, let's say, the last two immunities?
Yeah. Honestly, I think about the jury and I'm like, what in the world would they be thinking if they voted for, you know, Eddie? And then I'm like, okay, you know, if Eddie were to get the votes, it's because they are bitter towards the favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie would then get the votes, and that's it. Like, even if Andrew were to vote for Eddie, it's because she was bitter towards whoever favorites were in the final tribal council. So to me, I feel like all of the jury right now is going to look at gameplay. I mean, Reynolds, Phillip, Michael, all of them. In my opinion, I think they're going to look at gameplay. Right now, they may be a little bitter, but I think it's going to be similar to China, where instead of being, you know, friends and like, oh, I hate you because you voted me out, they're going to look at how you played the game instead.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. You know, we talked about this a lot. I did a podcast during the week with Dan Giesling from Big Brother, and I don't know if you're a Big Brother fan at all, Todd. Are
oh,
you
watch? I am.
Okay. So, and there was a whole big thing with the Big Brother Canada finale, and we were sort of talking about the idea of juries and bitter juries, and I think we stumbled onto something where I feel like, you know, people will vote for you if you got them out. If you were upfront about you were my target and this is why I had to get you out, I feel like it's the people that when you backstab, it will not, those people rarely ever will vote for you if you told them they were cool. You told them that they had nothing to worry about, and then they go out of the game. That seems to be the line
right.
That people draw. Hey, you told me I was safe. You told me I was good, and then you turned, and then you lied to me and went after me. It's not if I say, "Hey Todd, I'm coming after you. You're the target tonight. I'm going to take you out." Then people, you can turn that person, but it's like the person that you promise they're safe. That is the seems to be where people draw a line in the sand.
Exactly. Yes, I agree. You know, that was my fear. When I was at my final tribal council, was everybody was going to hold it personally. But if you look at the four people who voted for me, I backstabbed all four of them.
Yeah.
And except for PG, you know, she knew she was going home. So that's what I'm hoping for in this season, because in my opinion, and I'm sure similar to yours, it's a game. It's not like, oh, who's best friends with who. And that's what made the difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to watch to see how it all plays out. Now, I wanted to ask about somebody, and I'm not sure if you know this guy at all, but I'm figuring since you played, what, Survivor 15, and he was on Survivor 16, that your paths had to have crossed at some point. Do you know Eric Reichenbach at all?
Of course I do. I love Eric.
Okay, well, give us the scouting report on what you've seen from Eric, because I'm having a really hard time reading what's going on here.
Oh, God. Eric, he is probably one of the nicest guys you've ever met in your entire life.
Clearly.
He is very, he's one of the most sweet people you'll ever meet. He is very secluded. He keeps to himself a lot. And I think on this season, it's kind of proof as to how much he keeps himself together, but away from people. Because he really isn't playing a game. He's just kind of out there, you know, saying, oh, should I go left or should I go right? I'm just going as far as I can. And as we saw in Friends versus Favorites the first time, he, you know, screwed up with giving the immunity out this way. But he, oh my gosh, I can't even explain it. He's just so different, so confusing, so alone in his own world, but he's very friendly when it comes time to be out there. I really don't know how to describe him. He's so different, that's
but
for sure.
Could Eric be the Fabio of this season? Could Eric go on a run here at the final five and win the last two immunities and end up with, say, let's say it's Cochran, Dawn, and Eric? Could Eric be the foil here, the guy who people are voting for? Because, hey, you two were sneaky and you guys were up to no good. Eric, at least, he never lied to me. He was a good guy. I feel bad about what happened to him last time. So I want to, like, this story about Eric. Could he be the Fabio?
Personally, I don't think so. No. I really don't think he could. Even if he gets to the final three, I don't think he's going to win again. I really don't. I feel like he could definitely win the challenges and make it to the end, but I don't feel like he'll win the game because even at a final tribal council, I don't think he would be very good at it, you know?
You wouldn't think so.
He stumbles over his words and he says a lot. He doesn't like to look at you in the eye, and he's just Eric from Hell, Michigan.
You know, I come from a place called Hell, and I really would like to win the game.
I mean, he would have a couple of amigo votes, you would think, maybe, right? Could Andrea vote for him?
I would assume he would get maybe one or two votes. Yeah. I do, but I don't think he could ever win the game. I don't at all. I mean, sorry, Eric, if you're listening, but I just don't think he's fit to win Survivor, you know?
Todd, I'm worried about Eric because it seemed to me that whole scene with him climbing the tree, I found that very disturbing. And I'm worried about Eric because it seemed to me, I went back and I watched the episode a second time today and I took notes during that scene and he's talking about how he wants to climb that high tree because he says,
if I fell, nobody would judge me, you know.
He's talking about like if he broke his leg and they had to remove him from the game. He said,
nobody would judge me, you know. You tried your best, but I feel like I'm trying to defeat myself.
I'm
in my own head right now. He's trying to defeat himself, Todd. He feels like I think he knows at some point he's going to get bamboozled. And at some point they're going to say, oh, see, Eric did it again. He lost the game again. And I feel like he's petrified of this. And he people who have been on the show have told us all season. He said, don't tell me what's going on. Tell me 5 minutes before we go to tribal council. I feel like he feels like if he knows anything, then he can be tricked. If he doesn't know anything,
right,
he can't get tricked. And if he falls out of a tree from 50 feet up and he breaks his leg, he could say, I could have won the game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, think about it all the way back to when he was playing the first time. You know, he was stupid enough to give away his immunity necklace. And if he's not afraid for anything like that, like, I don't know. It frustrates me because I know him personally and I enjoy being around him, but he's just like that in person. It's not just television. He's very wishy-washy. He doesn't really know exactly what he wants. And it's confusing, you know? Like, what next? Eric, come on. Like, give me a clue. And he just doesn't really respond in any form that you are able to understand, you know? Where you're like, okay, well, you said this, but what now? Kind of thing.
Yeah, and we've picked on Eric a bit this season, and I know he's a nice guy. I've talked to him before, and I've met him before, and I know he's a great guy. And I hope people don't think there's anything personal against Eric, but I just feel like he's swimming with sharks, and he shouldn't be out there.
I agree. I mean, you know, also with his case, it's like him and Corinne. It's like they were from before this new genre of Survivor happened where they are old school in a way. They're like, you're super
middle
old school.
Middle school. Yeah,
that's fair.
You're middle school.
I'm middle school? Is that where I count?
I think the teens, you guys are middle school.
I'm almost middle school. 30 hasn't happened yet, please. But yeah. You know what I mean.
I'll say pre heroes versus villains. We'll call that middle school.
Okay, sir. I'm middle school then. And you're old school, right?
I'm old school, yes.
Season 3.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I feel like Eric is just so in his own world, and he's probably got a lot going on in his mind that none of us know really about anything that he might be thinking. And he went out there to test himself again, and he's like, oh, shit, like, here I am, and this is really rough. I forgot because it's been 6 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, what's the plan, Eric? Where are we going with this?
Right? Like, what's next? Come on, move on.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm here with the amigos, and I don't know, we'll see. It's like, come on, Eric.
Well, in fairness, I'm sure, apparently his plan was that him and Brenda and Dawn were going to the end. But, I mean, it seems like he totally just, you know, dropped the bag on Brenda for securing that, you know? He's just, okay, right. You know, okay, Brenda, whatever you want. You don't see Eric, like, trying to work on Dawn and saying, like, hey, Dawn, are we good, you know? Are you good? You feel good? You know, you don't see him anywhere in the picture. It's just all on Brenda.
It's true, and it's so interesting to me because I'm like, what is he doing out there? Does he just literally lay in sun all day? Like, what is he doing? Go talk to people.
Yeah, so, I mean, I thought this was interesting last night. He is talking about the island, and he says, this island is the most beautiful prison I've ever been in. Like, what? What are you talking about? The most beautiful prison I've ever been in. And he's like, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to say. There's really? You're playing a game for $1 million and there's five other people. There's nothing to say?
I'm sorry. You sound just like him. Like, there's nothing to do out here.
Yeah, he's bored.
I love it.
He's bored. Todd, would you be bored on Survivor on day 35?
No, are you kidding me? Of course you're a little bit bored, but you find something to do. 35, you've got 4 days left. Come on.
Yeah. No, it does. Survivor gets boring, but there's a lot to do when you're out there. There's not...
Seriously. Holy. Like, seriously. I think about the day that I hopefully will one day play again. And I'm like, if I made it to day 35, I would not sit around and be mopey and sad. I'd be like, shit, I've got 4 days left. I can't wait. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know the game does crazy things to you. But even like Dawn and a lot of her crying. I mean, if you were out there playing Survivor, talk about first world problems. Do you have anything to cry about when you're on Survivor?
Did I?
Does anybody?
Oh, I mean, you can cry about anything you want to, but, like, you just look like a pansy if you do.
Yeah.
No?
Like, you wanted to go and play this game for $1 million, and now you have a one in six chance to win $1 million.
It's not like you're out there for a year. You're out there for 39 days. Like, suck it up, you know?
There's a lot of people out there who are playing Survivor, except the game never ends and they're not actually trying to win $1 million.
Exactly. So many people go out there and they're just like, oh, yeah, this is that show called Survivor. Oh, yeah, I'm here to play. Like, no, get out there and play. This is a freaking game.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Brenda and her whole scenario from last night. And I guess let's start with the reward challenge. Now, she wins the reward challenge. Todd, a lot of people were upset today, felt like this was some real BS that Brenda got put in such a bad position that she had to either, you know, pick the lesser of two evils. Do I want to make Dawn mad at me or do I want to make everybody else mad at me? What did you think,
right,
first, before we get into the decision, did you think that that was messed up that Brenda was put in that position?
Yes. I mean, I think it was fantastic for TV, but my instant reaction was, oh, I'd give it to him because I'm playing a game. Mm-hmm. But then as I kept watching, I thought, oh my gosh, then you look like you're kissing all of their butts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that could make you the biggest target. So I was so confused as to what I would do. But, man, she really got screwed. That's why I didn't like winning it. I didn't win a challenge, but that's why I was happy I didn't win any challenges, because I didn't have to make that decision, you know?
Yeah, it's a tricky problem because the first reaction is, oh, well, you got to give it to everybody because then everybody will get mad at me and then they'll vote me out. But the thing that you have to remember is they're going to vote you out anyway, and you're better off being the person that now everybody says, ooh, now I want to go to the end with Brenda because everybody's pissed off at her because they didn't get her family visit. On top
exactly.
of that, you also have the, you also can sort of martyr Dawn to a, like, hey, Dawn, I gave you all your, you know, your friend and your husband, they all came to visit you. And I think you have a better chance to lock down Dawn's vote, which is really the most important vote in this alliance.
Exactly. I completely agree. I mean, if she were to make it to the final three and Dawn was on the jury, I feel like Dawn would have given her vote.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, she really, it really was like a super shitty situation.
A lot of people had said on Twitter that, you know, the right decision would have been to say, guys, I can't do this to Dawn. And then you sort of kind of blame it on Dawn, that it's like, look, like, you guys, hey, look, you guys know Dawn. I gave it to Dawn. I can't take it away from Dawn. I'm sorry, everybody. And then, you know, I think that's probably the best way to handle that.
I agree. I mean, Dawn even texted me last night and she said, how do you handle all of the negative feedback from the show? I told her, you grow without skin, and that's it, you know? So it's like one of those situations where I understand Dawn's position, and I really do feel bad for her because she really hasn't done anything wrong. But like, where do you go from that, you know?
What do you get negative feedback about?
Oh, people call me a snake, people call me the betrayal, people said that I was weak, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, but back in, when you were in middle school, in the middle school Survivor, at least there was no real, like, social media. What could people have written on Facebook? There was no Twitter then, right?
There was no Twitter then, no. Making me sound old. Well, Rob, come on.
But Todd, there wasn't even MySpace yet when I was on Survivor. that's when
okay,
you're old
that's
school.
Old.
Yeah. MySpace wasn't even invented yet. I'm lucky the internet was invented when I was on Survivor. So Brenda had that first whole part of that. And then in the immunity challenge, she let up and let Dawn win immunity. Did you think that that was the right decision for her to make? Or is there, under no circumstances, do you ever let somebody else take an immunity?
In my opinion, I always tried, you know, always tried, and I never won, but I tried really hard. So I don't want to give up, except at the challenge where they brought burgers out. And I was like, forget this. I'm not going home. Let me eat burgers.
Yeah.
So, like, I praise Brenda for giving her the immunity. But at the same time, it's like, it's so close to the end. You can't do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's tough. So, it's tough because we saw last week when she went toe-to-toe with Andrea, and then it was like, oh, boy, Andrea's like, I got to get rid of Brenda because she tried to beat me in the challenge. So you could let it go with Dawn, but Dawn's already pissed off, and I didn't have a big problem with what she did. It makes Dawn feel better, makes her stop complaining about the barbecue. I did think it was horrible that they made them have that barbecue about 50 yards away from the beach, right? Wasn't that horrible?
Seriously, and they're like, hey, screaming off the, like, no, you don't do that. Like, oh, let me rub this in your face a little bit more.
This
like,
was,
no, you can't do that.
The most sadistic challenge in the history of Survivor.
It was pretty epic, though, I won't lie.
Yeah. Do you think that it was strategy, or are we giving too much credit to Cochran here? Was it strategy for him to get everybody to be waving back to Dawn and Brenda? Like, he's like, boy, I can't let Dawn get too close to Brenda. Let's all get up and wave so Dawn gets pissed off that she's not here.
If it was strategy, I have to give him mad props, because that was the perfect strategy. Like, oh, hey, we're out here having a good time and you're back at camp eating nothing. Good job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
Did you think that Cochran was a little hard on his dad?
Cochran and, like, his relationship with his parents were really, really strange. Like, when he was talking about dad doing the burgers and stuff, like, oh, my dad never does this at home. He doesn't flip burgers. I'm like, you don't say that. Your dad's going to feel like an idiot now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's out there trying to make himself look cool and masculine, and you're like totally cutting his balls off right now. Like, good job, Cochran.
And what about Cochran's mom? Did Cochran's mom refer to him as Cochran?
I think she did.
She did. Because I made the note of it last night, and I saw it in my notes, or as I watched the episode a second time. She's like, hey, Cochran, what's going on? I just thought that was very odd that his mom refers to him as Cochran.
I'm processing this all in my mind. I have no idea even what to say about that. My mom ever called me Herzog, I'd be like, Mom, you're wrong. I'm like, stop. You know, I'm Todd. That's the name you gave me.
Yeah, it just seems very confusing for Cochran's mom to refer to him as Cochran, because you would think that there might be other Cochrans around when she's addressing him.
I don't know. Maybe she was doing it for the cameras. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think so. I guess she feels like, hey, I guess it's like when you go on Survivor, like if you knew Coach in real life, I don't know if Coach has, you know, he says, I guess his parents call him Coach. But you would imagine a point, or maybe, you know, Coach is going to get married, that maybe Coach's fiance doesn't refer to him as Coach, like, inside the house. But if she came to visit him on Survivor, she would know to refer to him, hey, I'm on Survivor, I have to refer to him as Coach at all times.
Very true. I mean, it's so weird, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would call him Ben, but I call him Coach, so that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And Cochran, I would call John, I feel. I mean, I don't know. I think when I meet him, I'd be like, hey, Cochran, instead of John, you know?
Yeah. I feel like maybe if you are really in the velvet rope, like if you're good friends with Cochran, you call him John. It's like, hey, it's like,
yeah,
if you're really tight with him, you're not just Cochran. You're a formal first name basis. It's like one step.
Well, and it's also that situation where he, like, in his first season, he was like, oh, yeah, you called all of the, like, favorite people by their last name, so I want you to call me Cochran. And I'm like, well, okay, but you're John Cochran. You know?
Yeah. So, did Jeff Probst ever call you Herzog?
No.
Oh,
nobody
no.
calls me Herzog. If they call me anything, they call me Whitey from Herzog, whatever baseball player that was called.
Oh, Whitey Herzog?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that you had that nickname.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
It's Whitey and Toddy and Todd Skulls.
Okay. So let's break down how we think things are going to go now in the next couple of tribal councils. Okay, so we're down to five. Who do we think is going to go home next?
Think Eddie will go home next.
Okay, so you take out Eddie first and take Eric to the final four, and then Eric goes out. Now, what happens if Eric wins immunity? I mean, I think they've kind of botched this a little bit, that they've left two pretty strong immunity threats here. I mean, who's going to be the person, whether they vote out Eric or whether they vote out Eddie, who's going to be the person to beat one of those guys at the final four? Are you counting on Dawn to win that final four immunity?
She's the only one that could possibly win. Depends on the challenge, but like in seasons past, like yours, remember where you guys were blindfolded and like you had to go through that whole thing?
Well, Todd, I had been trying to forget that, but since you bring it up, yes, I do. I do remember that challenge.
But seriously, like, that's the thing. I'm like, who could win that? Dawn could win that for sure.
Jenna Maraska could win it.
Yes, if Jenna could win it, then anybody could win it.
Oh, that wasn't what... Todd.
Sorry. My bad.
So, but I guess you never know. I mean, look at last season where you had that Final Four challenge with Malcolm. He had two chances to win it, and he couldn't even win it. It's just, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, honestly, I wish that Sherry would, like, step out a little bit and do something, but I don't want her to win the show, and I don't think she will. But I would like to see her do something, you know, besides just, like, sit there and smile and cry.
You know, I read every week Dalton Ross talks to Jeff Probst, and Jeff Probst basically said in his thing today, he's like, well, you know, everybody's got a chance to win. That is, except for Sherry. I'm just not feeling it.
Which means she doesn't.
Well, so yeah, maybe Jeff's setting up like a really big upset.
True. If she won, I'd be like, oh, well, just kidding.
Jeff really threw us a curveball there. Yeah,
he, you know, you never know with Jeff. He's a different kind of
Very sneaky.
So,
you know, I brought up Malcolm. I wanted to know, you know, we haven't talked to you all season long or during the Philippines. What's your take on Malcolm? You like Malcolm as a player?
I love Malcolm. I'm not going to lie. I really love Malcolm. I think that he is kind of like Ozzie 2.0, but with more of a personality.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he has opinions and does stuff, but at the same time, I'm like, it's not enough. You know, like you got to push a little bit further. So I think he's learned that this time around. Like, I may have more of a say in things that happen, but they just haven't worked out for him. So I really do like Malcolm, though.
So which part of Malcolm's game do you think he needs to work on before his inevitable third time on Survivor?
Well, I think personally that he needs to definitely work on getting closer to people. You know, that's the huge part of the game. It's a social game. You have to work on getting close to people and making them your alliance and making them love you no matter where they are in the game. And if you make it to the end, that's who's going to vote for you to win, you know? And he, I feel, is slowly getting there, but at the same time, I feel like he holds back a lot and is out there to be like, oh, look at me. I'm the kid with the long hair and the ponytail, and I surf, you know?
Yeah. I think Malk is pretty good, I have to say. I mean, he was basically one challenge away from winning last season. And I know he didn't get as close this second time around, but I think he had a pretty strong effort still. But his first season was definitely better than the second.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, Malcolm is freaking fantastic. And another thing with him this season is he was on a favorites tribe, but nobody knew who he was because it was back-to-back. So it didn't really help him in that way, like to build him on a pedestal, which he deserves to be because he really is a great competitor. He just needs to open up a little bit more to people and grow those connections before he starts to pull people out, you know?
Yeah. All right, so Todd, here's what we're going to do now. What I like to do is I take questions from the listeners on our Rob Has a Podcast Facebook fan page, which you can go ahead and like, not you, Todd, but the listeners, facebook.com/Rob Has a Podcast. We got over 100 questions for you today, Todd. Everybody is very excited to hear from you.
Well, that makes me very happy.
Yes, and a lot of questions, basically every, I'd say about maybe 15-20% of the questions were, Todd, when are you going to play Survivor again?
Whenever they ask me, I will be back.
Okay. Like the Terminator.
So, yes, I will be back. I promise. As long as they ask me, I will come back no matter what.
Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into this. Okay. This is from Adam Selkov, and he wants to know, Todd, how would you react to Philip? Now, we saw how you reacted with John Robert on your season. And Philip, maybe not exactly the same. Is that a fair, are they somewhat, you know, on different branches of the same tree?
It's so similar. I'm not going to lie. Like, they are very similar. I've met Philip in person, and honestly, I had a very hard time talking to him because he is just Philip. And if I was playing a game with him, I would listen to every one of his stories and nod and wave and smile and just totally eat up everything he had to say. But in person, he's just fantastic. You know what I mean? Like, yay, Philip, cool. I bought a tank top yesterday, and it sums it up. It says, cool story, bro.
Yeah.
Tell it again. That's it.
Now, would you keep Philip around in the game? Are you the type of player, would you say, hey, look, he's getting on people's nerves. We got to get rid of him.
I'd probably do the same as John Rivera. I'd keep him around until about 8th or 9th place and be like, bye, I'm over you.
Yeah.
Like, see ya. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a two-part question from Adam. He also wants to know, what would Todd's Stealth R Us nickname be? Have you thought about this? Did you get a Stealth R Us nickname when you met Philip?
Oh, my gosh. No, the one I got... I got Dragon Fighter from Coach. That was the one that I got. And
Dragon Fighter? That seems a little...
Dragon Fighter?
Derivative of Dragon Slayer, right?
Yeah, Dragon Fighter. And I find it funny because in China, my tribe name was Dragon, or Flying Dragon.
Okay.
And so I'm like, Dragon Fighter. Okay, well, and then he called Courtney the White Witch.
The White Witch?
The White Witch, because yeah. She's got her platinum white hair. So, you know, and everybody knows, I mean, Courtney are BFFs, so it's like, why would you... say that? I don't know. It's just funny. I'm freak. I don't know. I think I would just call it Awesome. I have no idea.
Well, that's a pretty good nickname. Awesome.
Like Team Awesome?
Yeah.
The three awesomenesses? You know?
Sure. Why not? Okay. This is a very good question from Jordan Magat. Wants to know, do you see any parallels between Amanda's game in Survivor China and Dawn's game this season? Don't you feel like they're kind of on the similar trajectory here?
No, I don't. I really don't at all. I feel like Dawn is she wears her emotions on her sleeve, and she cries when she wants to cry, and she is just Dawn. And Amanda hold a lot back, you know. She doesn't tell people exactly what she's feeling or thinking, but she's a strong player. So personally, no, I don't think so. If I was watching the show and wasn't playing the game, I might think differently, but after knowing Amanda, I would say no.
How about this? Do you see the game ending the same way for both of them? As in, like, dealing with a lot of tough questions from the jury and not potentially handling it great?
Yes, I do. I feel like it's going to end in that. Like, that, if that was the question, yes, they are very similar, because I feel like Dawn is not going to be able to answer the jury's questions to their and Amanda didn't do the same thing. Like, she didn't know how to answer questions. She didn't know what to say. And I feel like that's exactly what will happen with Dawn.
Well, tell me, how could Dawn turn it around? Like, let's say you're Dawn and somehow, you know, you've quantum leaped into Dawn's body. Now, here comes everybody, you know, here comes Brenda, and she's saying to the tribal council, like, Dawn, what gives? Hey, we're supposed to be my best friend. I got your retainer. How could you do this to me, Dawn?
Dawn's only hope, really, at a final tribal council is going to be to say, like, nothing but game. Because if she says anything on a personal level, it's going to really, really hurt anybody, and they'll fire back.
What could she say?
She could say, you are my friend, you really, like, I really care about you, blah, blah, blah. And if she said that to Brenda, Brenda would fire back and be like, I did this for you, blah, blah, blah. And Dawn didn't know what to say back. You know, she couldn't say anything back to make it right. And unless she plays just game, saying, like, I'm here to win $1 million for my family. Like, she asked for family in there because it's part of... You know, it's people's mind. Like, I love my family. I'm here. I play the game. This is the second time around. The first time I played too nice, blah, blah, blah. And if she were to go back and say, like, I'm so proud that I made it to day 39. I'm here against two great players. And I know that these two are both deserving. And I feel like I'm here for a reason, and that's to support my family. Like, that might change people's minds, but I feel like she might choke up on her words.
You know, for Dawn, I feel like she's really painted herself in a corner here, because I kind of feel like if she was going to go with Brenda and Eric to the end, I think she'd have a better chance than against Cochran and whoever at the end. And I think that she could at least say to Cochran, if she voted him out, say, hey, Cochran, I trusted you in the first game, and I had to turn my back on you here because I had to do what I had to do. I couldn't let you control my destiny again to get to the end. And I feel like she almost has that sort of in her back pocket if she does get rid of Cochran. But to get rid of Cochran and Brenda, I feel like she's going to potentially that wasn't the right idea. I feel like the better idea would have been to stick with Brenda and tell Cochran she had to vote him out because she owed him one from Survivor South Pacific. And she had to play her own game this time.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think it's her biggest mistake this time around is the fact that she instantly was with Cochran again. Because it was, the first time around, you should have realized that, yes, you weren't, like, hardcore and all that the first time around. But this time you're playing again with the same person that you aligned with the last time. You need to understand that. That is what got you in trouble the first time around, and that's probably what's going to get you in trouble this time around. So change it, you know? And I understand the friendship thing. Like, I get it, because I know for a fact that if I were playing with Courtney again, I would never, ever backstab Courtney. So I get it. But at the same time with her, it's like you're actually playing with him, and you guys are in the final five now, so it's like, make something happen before you get knocked on your feet. You know, you don't want to go 39 days and win second place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dawn was in a pretty good situation last night because Cochran said to her, hey, do you want to vote out Brenda? Or if not, we could just vote out Eddie and figure it out tomorrow. And she was, she could have just figured it out tomorrow, been in a better spot, come back and seen what, if you had more time to think about what she was going to do. She didn't have to rush into it. And I also think it was confusing that she says in the episode, she's like, oh, man, what do I do? Because last time I let Cochran ruin my game and I got to play my own game this time. But so her move to play her own game was to listen to Cochran again.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, she talks about her last game a lot. And so it's like, okay, well, that was your last game. This is your new game. Play this game and stop worrying about the last game and start focusing on what you have to do to make it the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just so frustrating to me because I'm sure I'm like you, where it's like, if I was in that position, I would do this, blah, blah, blah. But everybody's different, and that's what makes Survivor go round.
Yeah, and it is much easier from the couch where I say all these things.
Exactly. When you watch, you're like, what the hell are you doing? Come on.
Yeah. So. All right, Todd. Alex Photopoulos wants to know, you had a situation during your family visit with your sister that could have ended up being your downfall. Do you have any insight as to what you should and shouldn't do during the family visit? Do you have a sort of guidelines of things to do or not do when your family comes to visit?
About all that, like, honestly, when my sister came running out, I forgot about the game, which is so weird for me because I was constantly in game. And I asked about my sister, and she said she had the miscarriage. And I really didn't know even what to think. And the last thing on my mind was that people would think I was lying, like pulling a Johnny Fairplay. And, after watching, I was like, wow, I would look like a total dick if I really was pulling a Johnny Fairplay, especially with, like, hey, a miscarriage, cool, good job, Todd. But when family comes, you can tell yourself so many things and, like, think all sorts of game plans and stuff, but it all goes up the door. It's weird. I'm sure you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it just, everything changes. It's so weird. But I would say do your best to suck it up and remember that you're in the game and that you only have a few days left and keep going. And that's all you can do, you know?
Yeah. I agree. You know, it's a very emotional thing. And I've seen it on Twitter today and I've seen it in the comments. Like, well, how are these people acting like such babies when the family visit comes? You've only been gone a month. It's different. And You don't know what it's like, and I don't often say this, but you don't know what it's like until you're there, and you're basically stripped of everything, and you see somebody that you haven't seen in 35 days or whatever, And for me, the biggest thing was just, I just wanted to tell my parents I was okay. You know, I just wanted to have that. Hey,
exactly.
don't worry about me. I'm fine. I'm doing great. And, you know, to see them and to know all the steps they took to get out there, you know, it really was crazy. And for us, we didn't know that the family members were going to be there. It wasn't like we got a tree mail. Like, hey, we're on the island. So we'll see you. We'll see you in an hour from now. You know, it was a shock for us. We didn't know they were there.
Well, and honestly, like, if you think about it, I don't even know what to say. Like, I don't cry. I really don't have emotions, really. I'm usually pretty, like, tough. But when she came out, my sister, I bawled like a baby. And I watched afterwards, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm crying on national television. But I bawled like a baby, you know? It is what it is.
Yeah. It is emotional. But I feel like these survivors are greedy to want two family visits. That's a little much.
That was crazy. I was like, wait a second. Why didn't I have like my mom and my sister, you know?
Yeah. I feel like Jeff also, I feel like he almost blew it with Dawn when I watched the episode the second time. So he says to Dawn, like, so Dawn, is there anybody else other than your husband that you would want to see today? And it was like, they were going to say, like, if she was going to say, well, you know, my friend is also pretty good. Like, well, we got her too.
Oh, she's back behind that bush.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
I know what you mean.
So, okay, let's go through a couple more of these. We got some good ones. Devin Brown wants to know, should Reynolds have kept the mustache he wore at Tribal Council last week? Were you a fan of Reynolds' mustache?
No, good. Get rid of it. I hated it. You look like a child molester.
Yeah, it was a questionable mustache. He's a good-looking guy. Doesn't need that mustache.
Right? Get rid of it, please.
Yeah,
he's very attractive. You can get rid of that and be just as fine. There you go.
Yes. Okay, how about from Lisa Ramirez Peoples wants to know, any chance of Todd and Courtney ever teaming up on The Amazing Race? That's some awesome TV right there. Would you do The Amazing Race with Courtney?
She's the only person I would do it with, because I know that we would be amazing.
No, you guys would be good.
No, we would love it. Are you kidding me? Me and Courtney are the ones that travel together a lot. Like, we've been to Peru, Colombia, to all the Virgin Islands, all that. Like, we just travel a lot together. I'm seeing her in a few days, actually.
Would you fight at all, though?
Sure, we would. There would be fights.
Okay. That would be good. I like the teams that fight on The Amazing Race. That's good.
You argue, yes. I'm sure she'd be like, listen, bitch. Like, you shut the hell up. You jump down this building and bungee jump or whatever the hell you have to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, let's go back to Dan Connolly wants to know. Monday morning quarterback time. He says, now that Eric is on the outs, how dumb was it to not help Andrea last week or to not flip at the Malcolm vote off? So Eric, for the last couple of weeks of the show, talked about how, you know, I have all the power right now. I am in control. And basically, whatever I want to do, have happen. And so back when it was the three amigos were going, all he had to do was to vote with them. He could have been in a final four with Malcolm and with Reynolds and with Eddie. He said, no, no, no. I'm sticking with Cochran and all these guys. Then last week, Andrea says to him, Eric, look, I have the hidden immunity idol. Let's go. It's me, you, and Eddie. We're gonna make a move right now. And he's, I don't think so. So now he's on the outs here. Now there's five people left, and he's at the business end of 3-2 right now.
Honestly, same as earlier, like, I don't know where Eric's mind is. I have no idea what he's thinking. He does what he does, and that's why he is in the position he's in and probably will not win again. So I have no idea where he's. I don't want to call him dumb, but that's pretty dumb, you know?
It didn't work out like he had thought.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So how about Brian Scally wants to know, is Eddie now tied with Jervis for the most times voting wrong at tribal council? Well, we said last week that it was a Jervis held the record from Survivor 1. He voted for the wrong person 7 times. We said last week that Reynolds had voted for the wrong person 6 times. We have to assume that Eddie also voted wrong every time Reynolds voted wrong. He's basically on the precipice of history here. If he gets voted out, I guess could he be voting for the wrong person 8 times in 1 season? We're seeing history! He did it! Eddie! He made it!
I really don't even know what to say, because every time he votes, I'm like, really? What's going on?
Yeah.
Where did you pull that from? Poor guy.
Well, and we have to ask Jeff Pittman, who's keeping the stats on all this. If Eddie votes for the wrong person at final tribal council, does that count? Because Jervis, I believe, also voted for Kelly in the final tribal council. So yeah. I don't know if he gets points for voting for the person who doesn't win also. But it would only be fair if he could do that also.
Yes, he would win. Or at least be tied. I hope he does, just to be funny, you know?
It'd be
funny. I hope he's just dumb enough to know that he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yes. Eddie started off the episode. He didn't talk a lot this week, Eddie, but he did start off the episode and say, hey, what is it with all the chicks that I try to hook up with? They all get voted out. So we'll have to find out if Brenda was snuggling with Eddie, because all the chicks that Eddie tries to hook up with gets voted out. Tyler... Did you have anything you want to say on that?
I can't stop. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. We're having fun. Tyler James Linder wants to know, he has a Ding, Marry, Kill for you, Todd. Now, this is one we've been talking about a bit this season. Are you familiar with the game Ding, Marry, Kill?
With what?
All right. So one of these, basically, you get to, I'm going to give you 3 people. We're going to do about the 3 amigos, okay? So you got to pick which amigo you want to marry, pick which amigo you want to kill, and which amigo you want to ding. It basically is...
Oh, shit.
You could use your imagination. All right. So the three amigos. This was asked multiple times in the questions from the listeners.
Eddie would be the one that I would ding.
Okay. See, I killed Eddie in mine.
And then Reynolds I would marry.
And then you kill Malcolm.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, just kidding. I would, okay, no, shoot. You can't do this to me, because this is... Okay.
Oh, it's been done.
I would ding Malcolm, marry Eddie, kill Reynolds.
Kill Reynolds. Well, you know what happens to all the chicks that Eddie tries to hook up with? This, you could be writing your own death warrant here.
Okay, fine. What do you want me to say? I would marry...
That's fine.
Malcolm? All of the above.
I just want to let you know that everybody that Eddie tries to hook up with gets voted out, so... Just say, marry him at your own risk.
Never mind. Yeah. And I would kill Eddie. Come on.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Eric Laval wants to know, speaking of Eddie, Todd, you are credited with perhaps the finest tribal council speech ever. Putting yourself in the shoes of one of this season's great strategists, please make the case for why Eddie deserves to win this season. What can Eddie say, Todd? You quantum leap now into Eddie's body. You're in the top 3, okay? Opening statement, Eddie, go.
Hey, my name is Eddie. I can't take a lisp. The only thing that he has going for him is the fact that he's one of 2 favorites or fans left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hasn't done anything.
Well, this isn't a very good speech, Todd.
There's nothing. Okay. Hi, my name is Eddie. All of you guys were on my tribe, except for the ones that I helped backstab, except for I voted for someone completely different because I have no idea what's going on in this game. There's no reason why Eddie would win. There's no reason.
There's no reason why he would win. And I would say right now, I think he has the second best chance to win.
Really?
Well, but I think that I would say right now, I feel like it's about an 80% Cochran win, and then I'll say maybe 10% or 8% Eddie, 7% Ice Cream Scooper Eric, and then Sherry and Dawn can split the rest.
I feel like Sherry would win over Eddie.
Why? Who's going to vote for Sherry?
Anybody who actually liked her.
Well, I asked the same question.
Like, there's no reason why Eddie will win except for Reynolds' vote. That's it.
Well, he could.
And maybe Malcolm.
Yeah, and maybe Andrea and maybe Michael.
If she was bitter enough, but I don't think Andrea is bitter enough. Like, yeah. I feel like Andrea is smarter than that, you know?
Well, I'm just saying there's a chance. We're grasping at straws here. I'm assuming. You know, if somebody gets smart enough and says, hey, let's vote Cochran out, then the whole snow globe gets shaken up. Now it's anybody's game.
If they vote Cochran out, then you're right. If they vote Cochran out, then it's anybody's game, period.
So why can't these four people get together and say, boy, there's one person here that has the best chance to win the game, and he's probably not going to win immunity, even though he's done it twice this season. Why don't we vote Cochran out here at Final Five?
Because, Rob, he's playing mine and your game.
Well,
the exact same game. Like you said, if you were in the final two besides Matt, you would have won.
I said that? Thank you for reminding me of that. I do feel like it would have been a very interesting tribal council. I don't want to make a proclamation like that, but Todd, I think that there is something similar here between us and Cochran, and of course you are a winner, and that's not something that I know anything about. But I think we both, and Cochran too, played in seasons that didn't have a sort of dominant guy who was the leader who was controlling everything in the second half. I feel like there's two types of Survivor seasons. There's a season where there is one guy who's sort of running everything and everybody else is sort of falling in line. And that's what it looks like that when you have a Boston Rob or a Tom Westman or, and the female version of that is like a Kim Spradlin or even like in Coach's season and it didn't work out for Coach. But you have one guy who's sort of like calling all the shots and everybody else is falling in lines. And then you have a sort of Survivor season like this one, like mine, like China, where it's really much more of a scramble after the merge. And that's my favorite type of season to watch.
Yeah.
And I think that in, my game and in your game and in what we're seeing from Cochran, I do think that there is some mastery of controlling that chaos.
No, I completely agree. First of all, I'd like to say, could you imagine the two of us playing together? We would be the final three, me, you, and whoever else. And you would win.
Who would win?
You would win.
Oh, come on. No, now you're treating me like John Robert. Now I'm giving you my vote.
No, you would win. I guarantee you that because they'd be like, oh, Todd's won already, and so-and-so is not good enough. So let's give it to Rob.
All right.
There you go.
All right, fine.
And I'd be okay with that as long as I had the $100,000 prize.
Well, look how good you are. Look how good you are. Oh. All right, fine. Let's go to the end. Let's do it.
Let's do this. Let's call Jeff. Let's see what's going on. However, Cochran, I really don't know because honestly, I think personally, I'm like, if he were to win and in the future, if they were to do a winner season, I feel like I would hate his guts because he's trying to be me as the winner. And in my opinion, I'm like, listen, I'm the small guy that's not strong. I'm not redheaded, thank the Lord, like you, Cochran. And I would probably do well, but I would vote him out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
well, I think that what has worked in Cochran's favor this season is that people had low expectations from him. And he has far and away nobody took him seriously as a threat, I don't think, this season. And I think that he would definitely have I don't want to say a target if he went back again, but people would not be sleeping on him the way they were sort of like treating him sort of like a joke in the beginning of the season. Nobody took him seriously as a threat.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I completely agree because, you know, he was the weak one, but there were weaker people. And so it's like, what do we do with this one? And now that he made the merge, you know, then he took complete control of the game. So it's like, really?
Yeah.
Right.
And let me just say this for you, Cochran, heading into this weekend. You're this close this time. Get it done now, because when you get that close and you don't get the brass ring, you still are going to get treated like you did if you go back again. So make sure, get the job done this time, and then worry about whatever comes later.
Exactly. So I agree completely. Yeah.
Get it done.
I agree.
Get it done, Cochran. All right, so let's see. We covered a lot of stuff in this. This is a good chat, Todd, I have to say.
I've enjoyed it too, Rob.
Yeah, very good. Jeremiah Panhorst wants to know, Todd, most fans believe you are one of the smartest winners, but who do you believe is the smartest winner?
I would probably have to say Kim.
Kim? Oh, that was not what I thought you were going to say.
I do believe that Kim is probably one of the smartest people to play this game. She was recently divorced, and she came into the game, and she was confused, and she was unaware, but she knew exactly what to say to people and how to play them. And I was completely floored at how well she played the game. So I think that she is really, really up there on the game. Also Sandra, obviously. I cannot deny Sandra because she's batting 1,000, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's played twice, she's won twice. And that is some major power. So I give mad props to Sandra.
Lots of good winners out there. How about this? People want to know, Ron Chan wants to know, Todd, who do you still keep in touch with from your season besides Courtney? Is there anybody else from China that you're close with?
I'm close with Jamie and Eric. They are married now and they have a baby. And Jamie is just fantastic. I love Jamie to death. So I'm really close with her. And I also stay close with Frosty.
Oh, very good.
So other than that, I stayed somewhat close with Amanda. She's doing her thing, so I don't talk to her as much as I'd like to. And then James whenever I see him. But
yeah, where's James?
I won't lie. James is Louisiana right now. He is just being James. You know?
James being James.
So it's James. But other than that, like, I don't really stay super close to anybody, but I do really love Leslie as well.
Okay.
Christian radio host.
Yes.
So I'm close to her as well.
So this is an interesting question that I like to get people's perspective on. Going back to a couple of weeks ago, Eric Laval wants to know, Todd, I think you were one of the greatest players ever. If you were in Malcolm's position a few weeks back, two hidden immunity idols and down in the numbers, what would you have done? Okay. So let's say you're in your Amigos alliance. We'll make up some future season. It's you and Courtney. And who's your other Amigo that's in your the new Todd Amigos alliance?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like the person I could trust most would actually be Jason Siska.
Okay, so, all right. So it's you, Courtney, and Jason. It's the Todd Amigos alliance. All right, and there's six, or I guess there were seven people on the other side, 7-3. Okay, you have two immunity idols, and Jason has one immunity. All right, go.
I would definitely pretend that I was the one going home,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like in Heroes and Villains with Parvati, and I would give Courtney one of my idols, and I would completely make it seem like I was 100% going home and ready to go.
You know, can I change this? Let me change this a little bit, because I realize that you're gonna save Courtney because she's you and Courtney are closer than Malcolm and Eddie. So okay, so Courtney has the necklace, and Jason has the he doesn't have anything. You have two immunity idols. Go.
I would definitely give Jason the immunity idol, and I would use the other. I'm gonna stay in tribal council, but I would pretend that nothing was going on. I'd pretend that I think I would pretend that Jason was going home, make it sound like I would tell everybody else in the tribe that Jason was lying and that he was being stupid, and I would secretly give him an idol and pull a big one, a tribal council, and vote out somebody that's a lot bigger and stronger.
Okay, so you would basically do what Malcolm did. Would you say that, hey, we're going after Philip?
Yeah, I'd say we were going after Jason if that was the case. And I would make Jason feel like it was terrible and like everything was wrong and tell him to play it up. If he didn't play it up, then I would actually vote him out without the idol. because anybody who cannot put on a show, I'd be like, come on, you little bitch, like put it on. So I would totally vote him out if that was the case, but I would definitely target probably the strongest male because I get along better with females because they trust me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, just go from there.
Okay. So you basically think that the Malcolm strategy was the right way to go?
I think so. Yes. Like I said, I love Malcolm. I really can't wait to meet him in person, but like, I feel like he's played a good game. He just needs to step back a bit and make himself feel or like seem a little weaker than he actually is, because you can't be the strongest, but you can't be the smallest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in between, and that's the only way to get through the game of Survivor.
Okay, one last question. Brian Ferguson wants to know, is this season the most time you've ever spent watching one human being cry? Have you ever seen another human being cry more than Dawn has this season?
No, I've not seen another human being cry that much. If I did, that'd be really sad. And I'd have a really bad life.
All right, let's set the over-under for Sunday night. 3 hours of finale and with the 1 hour of live reunion show. All right, I'm going to put the over-under at 3.5 times Dawn cries. You want the over or the under? 3 hours, and we're going to come back live.
She won't cry. I don't think she will cry. So tear out.
Let's do prop bets. Okay, 3.5 times. You want the over or under on Dawn's crying? You think you basically more or less than 3.5?
She won't cry.
She won't cry 4 times?
No.
I think she will. I'm gonna go over. I think she's crying at the final 5 when they vote somebody off.
I'm going to call her now and be like, Dawn, you can't cry.
No, well, good luck with that. let's see. If they do Fallen Comrades, she's definitely crying then. If she gets voted out, she's crying.
On the actual episode or in the finale?
No, in 3 hours, from 8 to 11 on CBS on Sunday night.
Oh, okay, she'll cry 4 times, yeah.
4. Take the over. If she makes it to the final 3, she's crying when they have breakfast. You know, she's
okay, yes. She'll cry 4 times.
Yeah, she probably cried during the final tribal council, whether she's asking a question or getting the question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Comrades.
So 3.5.
Tribal council. When she makes it, if she makes it to the final 3, yes, she'll probably cry a little bit. Yeah, exactly.
All right, part 2. Will Dawn cry during the live part of the finale? They cut to CBS, and here we go. We're live here at CBS Television City. Will Dawn cry during the reunion?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So no, Todd says no crying at reunion. And I will say yes. I will say yes to crying at reunion.
Wait, I really like to this time to not cry.
Yeah, well, that you can tell her not to. That you can tell her not to. And then I'm trying to, do we do anything else about crying? Okay, how about this? Will Jeff Probst ask Dawn a question about crying at the finale?
Probably yes.
Yes, okay. So, all right, that's good. We could probably do more prop bets as to who is going to get a question or not. Okay, how about this? One last question on this. Who will make it the furthest in the game and not get asked a question at the finale?
Michael or Eddie?
How about Sherry?
Oh, that's a really good one, yeah.
Jeff Probst, already said she's definitely not, that there's no way she can win the game. Seems like he doesn't like her.
He's probably going to say something like, Sherry, how was the experience for you? She'll be like, it was ridiculous. And then,
All right, let's bounce around. Let's go. So that's an interesting one. I guess the line is Michael. I guess that's probably the line. There's probably like a bunch of people from the fans from that that got voted out before the merge that aren't going to get a question. But I guess the first
which is sad because you know Francesca's going to be asked, what's it like being voted
yes.
out first?
Yes,
twice.
Definitely.
You know,
they're going to Francesca gets a question. So
that's rough.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's rough.
I think Michael is the line in the sand. It'll be interesting to see if anybody past
exactly.
Michael doesn't get a question. But we'll see.
Oh, sure. Probably Sherry. You're right.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Look, we need lots of time for questions for Cochran and Philip and Malcolm.
Mm-hmm. And Dawn. You know, Dawn's going to be asked a lot. Like, are you crying? What's your family thing? Blah, blah, blah. Cochran, yes. And then Malcolm, definitely. Is anybody from this season going on next season, do you know?
Oh, that we don't know. That we don't know. Lots of questions.
I don't know if I was supposed to say that.
We don't know. All right. So, Todd, I believe that is all the questions I have for you.
Fantastic.
Todd,
enjoyed it very much.
This was fantastic. I would like to work you into the rotation here. Are you up for more Survivor podcasts every season?
Of course I am, Rob.
Okay, fantastic. Todd Herzog. And Todd, I wish you were more active on Twitter. I would like to see more Todd tweets.
I don't know what to say on Twitter, like, hey, I'm taking a shit. Like, what
no,
do you say?
No. You got a joke? You got anything? You got some thoughts on the episode? Listen to the... Here, we'll listen to the rest of the episode after I post it, and then I'll read a lot of the tweets from the other survivors so you can get a sense of the kinds of stuff you could be putting out there.
Okay, that sounds great.
Fantastic.
I will try. I promise. I'll be like, I'm in Pleasant Grove, Utah.
Yeah.
Fabulous here.
Boom. Yeah. Is there a big Utah Survivor finale party? Is like Jonas catering a big party at Rick's Ranch?
Are you still recording?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Do you? I am still recording. Is it? You don't have to say it on the recording. I'll take that as a yes.
There's something happening, yes.
Well, that's fun.
We'll talk to you more.
Yeah. All right. Well, Todd, thank you again so much, and all the best, buddy.
All right. I love you, Rob. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Todd Herzog, winner of Survivor China. And that's not the only treat we have for you on this podcast, because we are going to get into it here with the FLOP, the First Lady of Podcasting. She is back here with us to get ready for a Survivor finale weekend. Here is the one and only Nicole Cesternino.
Hello, everybody.
Nicole, how are you?
I'm a flop.
Yes. Yes. I've heard that about you.
I've heard it too.
All right.
Several
Nicole.
Times.
Nicole, first off, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Are you ready for a Survivor finale weekend?
Is anybody ever really ready?
Didn't this season just fly by for you, Nicole?
Oh, yes, it has.
I mean, oh my God, it's gone by so fast.
Yes.
Right?
Who was even in the beginning?
Well, that a lot of good people, Nicole. You ever
and
hear
I
of
always...
a woman named Francesca?
Oh, gone too soon.
How quickly we forget the Allies and Hopes and
I have forgotten about the Allies and the Hopes. I did not forget about Francesca. I thought about her a lot today during this episode.
Yeah, why did you think about Francesca during this episode?
Because I was reminded just how cutthroat these people are.
Why? You were hurt for Brenda?
I wasn't hurt for Brenda. I felt bad for her, but come on. It's an all-star season.
It's tough. It's tough season.
Yeah, it is a tough season.
Tough season. People are upset.
And you know what? Last week, Andrea left and, you know, no one's safe.
Were you sad for Brenda?
I did feel bad for her. I mean, I'm not... inhuman. I have a heart.
Yes, I was very sad for Brenda.
You were very sad for Brenda. You felt bad.
Yeah, feel bad for Brenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you felt more bad because she was your pick rather than you felt sorry for her.
What?
I think that's where it all stemmed from.
Everybody knows Brenda is one of my faves.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Brenda.
Were you sad that Andrea left last week?
Sad too.
Were you as sad?
I was equally sad.
No, I think you actually shed a tear this week.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Brenda is out of the game.
Yes.
Dawn taking a lot of abuse on social media, Nicole.
That is unnecessary, I think.
Yes, people are being very hard on Dawn this week. And it's very sad.
She's a player.
Yeah,
Don't hate the player.
Well, Dawn is very... Dawn's our friend, too. Yes. And I feel bad that Dawn is taking so much abuse.
Of course.
And I feel like, you know, it is Survivor. And people, I think, take it a little too seriously. I mean, if you were not on the show or it was not one of your family members who got voted out, you really don't have any right to, you know, curse people out
or
on Twitter.
Grow some balls when you're behind a computer.
All right. So, Nicole, with that in mind, you know, we played the last time you were on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
We played a little game called Brocial Media.
Loved it.
And you lost.
I did lose.
You were the big loser on Brocial Media.
I don't know my bromigos.
Yes, you did not know them or what they were tweeting about.
Uh-huh.
So I figured, you know, I don't want to go into the Survivor offseason with you going on a losing note.
Right. Thank you.
So I want to get you back on track. So we have a new game today.
What's the new? What, it's a totally different game?
A totally different game. It's not another round of Brocial Media.
Oh, man. I studied my bromigos.
Okay. Well, you studied the wrong thing this week. Because this week, we've talked about the backlash towards Dawn on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
What I have here are a collection of things people have written to Dawn on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Yes. And
Dawn, turn off the show.
Oh, I'm sure she's gotten them. They're all at mentions to Dawn Meehan on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's how the game is going to go, Nicole.
Okay.
I am going to give you three real things people tweeted to Dawn Meehan and one fake thing.
Uh-huh.
Or would it be easier for you to give you two fake things and one real thing?
I'm confused no matter what.
Okay, I'll give you two real things.
Okay.
And one fake thing each round.
Okay.
And your job is going to be to tell us which thing is the fake tweet to Dawn Meehan.
Okay.
Which thing did Dawn Meehan not actually get? Now we have two different names for this game. I'll let you pick.
Okay.
This is what the staff over at Rob as a Podcast was working on for us today. Tell us, which name of the game do you like better? We can call this game and you can pick.
Okay.
Is this game called either A, Breaking Dawn,
oh,
or B, Twitter is getting out of me hand?
Oh, Twitter is getting out of me hand. We have a winner.
All right. Twitter is getting out of me hand. All right. All right, Nicole, are you ready for round one?
Of course.
Okay. All right, here we go. All right, so tweet number one, okay? This comes to us from somebody named Rose Alexander, okay? Rose at RoseFilm 3M. She tweets... You know, I should probably...
Yeah, you're giving it away that it's real.
Well, I have Twitter handles for everything, but okay. I will not say the Twitter handles for everything. Okay. So okay, number one, I have more respect for whores on street corners than Dawn. Yeah, it's a game in which people show just what they'll do for money. Okay.
Okay, we're not talking about $5.
People, I just want the point of this game is people are out of hand. People are out of hand on Twitter. Okay. All right, so I have more respect for whores on the street corners than Dawn. Yeah, it's a game in which people show just what they'll do for money. Okay?
I'd like to know what this person would do for $1 million.
Okay. Number two, Dawn deserves to be burnt to a crisp, just like her bread, which isn't even tasty.
Oh, don't go to the bread.
Low blow. And number three, at me hand. What an effing bitch. Brenda helped her so much, and she effed her over. I hope this bitch get hit by a car.
Oh.
All right, what is the real tweet, or what is the fake tweet, Nicole?
I believe the second tweet is the fake tweet.
Okay, you believe the fake tweet is the...
the low blow to the bread.
To one deserved to be burned to a crisp, just like her bread, which isn't taste. Yes, that is correct. That was the fake tweet.
Yes, yes.
Good job.
That was
there,
actually
Nicole.
Probably the nicest of all of them.
Yes. Good job. Good job, Nicole. All right. So, all right. Round two. Okay. Here we go. This is, tweet number one. Dawn, you're heartless. Way to betray Brenda, who, if it wasn't for her, you'd have no teeth. Stop crying, you selfish bitch. Okay.
All this name calling.
Number two. The best decision Brenda made in this game was not letting Dawn go on the family reward. A little mean.
Okay.
And number three, okay, Cochran, Sherry, and Dawn, I officially hate you. You are totally cruel. Brenda didn't deserve that, idiots. Okay.
What was the first one again?
Dawn, you're heartless. Way to betray Brenda. If it wasn't for her, you'd have no teeth. Stop crying, you selfish bitch.
All this bitch talk.
Is
Brandon Hans tweeting all this?
People are pretty horrible.
Yes. I'm going to go for the second one again. That's the fake.
Okay. The second one, which is the best decision Brenda made in this game was not letting Dawn go on the family reward.
Yeah.
All right, and Nicole, once again, you are correct.
Yeah.
All right. You are back in business.
Yes.
You're on a getting hot now.
Yep. Oh, yes, I am.
Yes. You are on a winning streak. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. How about, what was Dawn's best friend's name again? Well, watch your back because # she's a bitch, # masquerading as your best friend. Okay?
Oh, goodness.
# survivor.
That's funny.
Okay? Tweet number two. I am at Meehan's daughter, and I'm voting for Brenda for fan favorite. # I hate you, mom.
Oh, that's not cool.
And number three, Dawn is just a donut with a drama cream filling. She needs to go ASAP. # survivor, # Auntie Dawn.
Oh, that one's a tough one. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Can you read them again?
All right. One more time for the horrible people on Twitter. Okay. And maybe after all this, maybe Dawn could use some nice things from people on Twitter.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe Dawn could use a little
love. This is only a game. This isn't real life.
From the Rob Has a Podcast listeners, okay? This is from, this goes at me hand. What was Dawn's best friend's name again? Well, watch your back because # she's a bitch. # masquerading as your best friend. # survivor. Number two was, I am at Meehan's daughter, and I am voting for Brenda for fan favorite. # I hate you, mom. And number three, Dawn is just a donut with a drama cream filling. She needs to go ASAP.
I'm going to go for the second one again. I think that's also the fake one.
Okay. And Nicole, you are correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right, two more. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. This is, all right, first one. There's a special place in hell for Dawn and Cochran after what they did. Disgusting people. Okay.
Slightly dramatic.
Number two. Dawn, seriously, my hate for her is seriously too high. Go home. Your wholesome attitude is so fake. Ugh.
Was it hashtag? Ugh.
No, it was not a hashtag. Okay. And number three, congrats, Dawn. You just became the new Sherry. Can't wait to send you hate mail. All right. What do you think, Nicole?
I'm going to go with the last one is fake.
Oh, my God. Nicole, you're 4-for-4. All right. Now, this is the final round.
I know my Dawn hate.
This is the final round. Okay. And the final round is going to be three fake ones. And one, oh, I'm sorry, three real ones and one fake one.
Oh, so
and
tricky.
This round is the celebrity edition. These are all survivors writing.
Oh, me. Now this is when it gets really nasty.
These are all the survivors writing mean things to Dawn.
Yeah, and you'll tell me later who they are.
No, I'm going to tell. Okay. Well, no, I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you in this round who the survivors are.
Okay.
And you tell me which is the fake tweet.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. This is first one. This is from at James Logan Rice, who tweets, wow, hashtag that was cold, at Meehan and at John M. Cochran. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Number two. This is from at Mike Scoopin.
Oh, boy.
And he tweets, I would rather spend 39 days with artists than one with at Meehan.
That's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad. Number three from at Russell Hance. He tweeted,
it's going to be a lot of bleeps.
They need to do an all villain season. You may just top me. I just play the game. You're a bad person by that move. Holy S at me hand.
She's a bad person. She's a bad person.
According to Russell on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And number four. At Matt Quinlan tweets, I expect at Meehan to be served a cold dish. At least we know she'll be hungry. Okay?
No, this is a hard one.
This is a hard one. So who is the fake tweet? Is it Jim Rice, Mike Scoopin, Russell Hance, or Matt Quinlan?
I think Jim Rice is real. I think that one's real. I don't think Scoopin's is real. I don't think he would ever say he would spend time with artists.
Okay.
And then...
Russell?
Russell, I don't know. There was no curses. I don't know. And who was the fourth one?
In fairness, it was one curse. That was, you're a bad person by that move. Holy S.
Not really.
Yeah.
And well, who's the last one?
Matt Quinlan. I expect at me hand to be served a cold dish. At least we know she'll be hungry.
It sounds about right. Sounds like him. I think I'm going to have to go with Mike Scoopin, not real.
Mike Scoopin, not real. I would rather spend 39 days with artists than one day with at Meehan.
Yes. We're undefeated.
Oh, wow. Nicole, wow, really bringing it here towards the end of the Survivor season. You have
We're approaching the finale. You got to bring it.
Yes, you have redeemed yourself. Well done, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you. What do I get?
You get the trophy. Get the trophy. Let me see. We had some other good fake ones. Here's one of my fake ones that we never read. This one is...
Who wrote the fake ones?
The Rob has a podcast staffers.
Oh, they're very good.
Yes.
But you can't trick me.
They can't trick you. They're not that good. All right. So this is... one of my favorite ones. I want to freaking punch at me hands guts out 3 baker's dozen times. I like that. That was good. I just like it. Congrats, Dawn. You just became the new Sherry. All right, Nicole. Are you ready to get into some voicemail from the listeners?
Yes. But okay. Let's make sure we send some love to Dawn, that we do support her. This is just a game.
Yes, we are sending love to Dawn, even though I have a lot of support for Brenda. You know, what are you gonna do? It's just
you have a lot of tears for Brenda.
It's very, very close to my heart. Where's my Brenda picture that I have around here?
It's on the wall.
Oh,
Hello, Brenda.
I put it back on the wall.
Yes.
Yeah. I took it off.
Where was it before?
I took it off the wall for Survivor Know-It-Alls. It's very
sad.
Bring
it into the bathroom.
No, I did not. Come on. Come on. Let's keep it classy.
That's what I'm saying,
let's
buddy.
Let's keep it classy, Nicole. All right. You ready to get into some voicemails?
Yes.
All right. So this could be the last voicemail segment of the season because I don't think we're going to do voicemails for after the finale. So the voicemails came to us at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or by 323-282-RHAP. I was tweeting out the link to send us voicemails today, and I was about a fraction of a second away from tweeting out my cell phone number. I had written my cell phone number, and I looked at it. That's not the number for the voicemail.
Yes. Well, it is on some bathroom walls, so.
Yeah. What's with you in the bathroom?
I have to pee.
Oh, already? Already?
No, not yet.
All right.
When I point to my crotch, you know it's time.
All right. So what do you think that the listeners wanted to talk about, Nicole?
Dawn?
Well, she is popular today. All right. Let's start with Jeremy. He's got a question about Dawn. Here, take it away, Jeremy.
Hey, Rob. Jeremy again. I got one more question. Has there ever been another Survivor who has had such a big character shift as Dawn? I can't think of anyone who's gone from being so loved to so despised from their first to second season. Maybe you could help me with that. Take it easy, great podcast.
Okay, well, that is a very tricky question.
Mm-hmm.
There are not a lot of Survivors that have a 180, I'm not talking about Coach,
mm-hmm.
a sort of complete flip. But I would have to say the best example that I could think of somebody who was beloved, and probably this person was, with all due respect to At Meehand, this person was probably really beloved and then was kind of a villain the second time around. I would have to say, how about Stephanie LaGrossa?
That's true.
Stephanie was such a fan favorite in Palau. And then she came back in Guatemala.
And people really hated her.
People got annoyed.
Yeah.
Some people were probably still Stephanie
fans.
She
still has a lot of fans, but people really hated her.
Yeah. So I think that's a pretty good example.
What about Brandon Hance?
I don't know if Brandon was beloved.
People really liked him. They thought he was, you know, the nice guy.
He was definitely more of a quote-unquote villain this time than he was the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely was trying to be, you know, he was a nice kid who was misguided, I think, the first time, whereas then he was tried to be more of a badass second time
I think
around.
He tried to prove to people that he's tougher than what he was portrayed to be the first time.
But I think this is a good one. I'd love to hear in the comments from you guys what you think between the first time around to the second time around, who got the completely different, went from good to bad. Has anybody gone from bad to good?
Has anyone gone from bad to good? I'm sure there has been.
Somebody who was not liked the first time around and then loved the second time around?
I can't think of anybody, but I can't think of what
happened. How about in Big Brother? How about Rachel?
That's true.
I feel like Rachel was, by the second time around, I feel like people were rooting for her to win the game. I don't know if people were rooting for her the first time around.
No, they definitely weren't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So here's another question. Okay. We actually got a pro Dawn phone call from Deb in Los Angeles.
We love Deb from Los Angeles.
Okay. Here we go.
Hey, Rob. This is Deb in Los Angeles. And I keep seeing all this Dawn hate with regards to the Brenda vote, and it seems kind of wrong to me. I feel like she's being held to some other standard, like a mom standard for her gameplay. Like, there's some expectation she should be honest and sweet all the time to the detriment of her own game if necessary. It seems to me it's a little like Lil in Panama or something. Do you agree or disagree? Brenda gave away the award challenge for her to benefit her own social game, not Dawn. And so, there's an expectation that Dawn should be thrilled about making everybody, you know, happy and full and grateful. That seems a little misguided to me. Anyway, hope all is well. Sending out a little Dawn love, even though I want Cochran to win. Okay, bye.
So even Deb's Dawn love comes with
it only goes so far.
A caveat.
Mm-hmm.
I think Deb brought up a really great example of Lil, and I think that that is a really good example, a really good comparison.
Yeah.
Because the thing about Lil was that she wore the Boy Scout uniform, And then because she wore which the Boy weird. Scout uniform, but she was the Scout troop master, mm-hmm. because she wore the Boy Scout uniform, it was like, okay, you can trust me. I'm honorable. I have integrity. And I will not lie to you because I have to be a role model to the Boy Scouts. Now, Dawn is not wearing the Boy Scout uniform, but
she's wearing the mom badge.
Yes, but she is. Is that a Boy Scout badge that you got?
No, I don't think so.
But Dawn, the persona that she is presenting is, I am the nice mom. I have six kids. I'm a good person.
But I think that, okay, I can see where you would get that from, of course. But I think that she has proved in many votes that that's not her anymore. Why are we so surprised that she's doing this?
Well, I'm not saying that. I mean, for me, I don't know why the people that watch the show are surprised. I'm saying I can understand why the people in the game could be so hurt.
Yeah.
Because Dawn is projecting this image of, hey, I'm the nice person. You know, I'm not going to screw you over. So when she does screw you over, you say, hey, thanks a lot, Dawn.
But it's okay for her to screw up people over when it's in your favor.
Well, how do you mean? Like when you're working with her?
Like all the other votes, like with Andrea, with Francesca, they didn't care then. They were all for it. But now it's the vote is cast against them, and now they're pissed. Yeah. Like they should have seen this coming. Like Dawn couldn't really be trusted. She proved it. That's her game. She's not hiding it.
Okay. So everybody at home, though, what can we say to them to make them feel better? Yeah, I didn't know Brenda had so much support.
Everyone's like, oh, Brenda doesn't talk. Is she even on the show? Now that she's gone, it's like crybabyitis.
Well, she was very
sad. Pass out the tissues.
She was very sad when she went home.
Everybody felt bad for her, but where did this uproar come from?
Yeah, my mom was very upset about Brenda.
Well, your mom is a nice person.
Very upset, Brenda. Mm-hmm. Poor Brenda. She was so nice on the exit interview.
She was always sweet. When we met her, she's a very sweet person. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sucks that she has to be blindsided, but this is a game.
Yeah. She's pretty much the perfect person.
I think you love her.
All right. Here's a question from Adam. And he wants to know if somebody else besides who I've picked is actually the worst player ever. All right, here we go.
Hey, Sister Nino. It's Adam from Melbourne here.
Ooh, an accent.
We all thought we might have the worst ever survivor with Francesca. But in reality, we do have the worst ever survivor on this season, and it's Eddie. He is hopeless in all respects. Strategically, at the food auction, he never even considered buying a clue or a advantage in a challenge. Socially, he's just after a showmance, talking to the hot chicks, and even ruined the Amigos' plans by spilling the beans to Andrea. And look, physically, come on. He hasn't won a challenge, and the one challenge he was close in, he couldn't even put the hoop on the stick. That's my opinion. See you, Rob.
He can't even get his stick in the hoop.
Yes. So, is Eddie the worst survivor ever?
He never has any idea what's going on.
I would say by virtue of the fact that he is a physical presence, even though he's not good in the challenges.
He's not that good in the challenges.
He's not the worst survivor ever.
But they just keep him around, not for anything that he does.
Yes. No, it has been a miracle that he has gotten this far. Nobody in Survivor history has gotten further with less of a clue of what is going on.
Does he know where he is?
No.
He doesn't.
I don't even know how he got to the application to be on the show.
Someone filled it out for
him. I don't know. I guess we saw his dad. His dad seems like a nice guy.
His dad seems like a really nice guy, yeah.
Somebody got him to Survivor.
Although that hug was a little awkward.
It's a little awkward. I don't know if Eddie's dad needed Eddie jumping on him.
With his legs wrapped around him.
Yes. And Eddie's dad said, you're the hairiest person I've ever seen in my life. The hairiest man in the world.
Yes.
That was funny. I liked Eddie's dad.
Does Eddie talk with a lisp?
I don't know.
I feel like he has an intermittent lisp.
I don't hear him talk that much. Other than to say that all of the babes that he tries to hook up with all get voted out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's cursed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. And that's apparently why Sherry and Dawn are the only women left in the game. All right, here we go. Here's a question from Matt from Minnesota. He wants to know about Cochran in his first season versus this season.
Hi, Rob. This was Matt from Minnesota, and I just had a question or a comment about Cochran. I was just wondering if in his original season, if they didn't have the returning players, Ozzie and Coach, if he would have done as well as he is doing this season. Love the podcast. Interested to hear what you have to say. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Nicole. So if there were no returning players on Survivor South Pacific, could this have been the Cochran we're seeing now? Could this have been the Cochran that we saw in Survivor South Pacific?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. No. I think that he grew from the experience in Survivor South Pacific.
He has evolved. He's a...
I agree. I think he evolved as a player, and I think he evolved as a person, mm-hmm. too. I think he's grown up even more.
He's more confident.
He's blossomed before our eyes.
Oh, it's like a flower.
No, and I think that the failure made him a better player the second time around.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
So good job by Cochran. And Cochran took a lot of abuse, too.
He did take a lot of abuse.
Going back to what happened to him on the show, I don't know if it was as bad as what Dawn has been getting the last 24 hours, but Cochran got a lot of S on Twitter from people after he made that move. And then after he went out of the game, it was like, you idiot.
And even from survivors.
So he got a lot. He got a lot of BS from people.
Yes, he did.
So good for Cochran. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he can, sweep the leg, finish the job. And
get her done.
Get her done this weekend. Otherwise, it's not that great a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story I'm familiar with. All right. Here's a question from Alex.
Hey, Rob. This is Alex from the Jersey Turnpike. I was just calling to ask how Reyes the dog was doing. We haven't heard much about her recently, and I was just wondering who she's rooting for this season. Is she a Cochran fan, or maybe she's a Brenda fan? Let us know. Thanks.
All right. It's a good question, Alex. We haven't talked much about Reyes the dog recently on the podcast.
She's got a bum leg.
She's doing well. Like Brenda.
Yes.
So, yes. Who is Reyes?
Everything is like Brenda.
Well, Brenda had a bum leg.
Yes.
So she had a limp also. But I think much like Brenda, she thinks she's doing better.
Yes.
Though Brenda can't bend her knee all the way. All right. So.
Are you stalking Reyes her?
I talked to her.
Okay.
So Reyes the dog, who do you think she's rooting for?
I think she was rooting for Andrea.
Andrea?
Yes.
Why?
I think she liked Andrea.
You liked Andrea?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Reyes is actually rooting for Eric. They have a lot in common.
She likes ice cream.
She likes ice cream. Mm-hmm. She likes to run around and throw the ball. And she also gets really, really crazy when she gets hungry. So she can relate to what Eric is going through on the island.
I think I've seen her almost climb a whole tree.
Yes. All right. Well, here's our next voicemail. This comes to us from a guy named Peter.
Hello, Rob.
Oh, my God.
This is Peter Brown calling. I have a question about Eric. With no legitimate challenge threats left in the game, shouldn't Eric team up with Eddie and try to win the last two immunity challenges together? They could bring in Sherry and vote out Dawn and Cochran. There would be no legitimate strategic threats left in the game, and Eric would have a legitimate chance at winning. Would this be the worst final three of all time? Believe in the Shield!
Okay, all right. So
that's why we say no to drugs.
What you don't know is that is a impersonation of somebody from Big Brother Canada.
Oh, okay.
That's what you're missing there.
missed the joke.
Yes. Actually, it started off very, very strong. It started off as a very good Peter Brown impersonation of fake Peter Brown.
Hello, Rob. This is Peter Brown calling.
But it's all downhill from there.
I have a question.
but it started off very strong. And we're hoping to speak to the real Peter Brown sometime soon.
Fingers crossed.
Who you couldn't pick out of a lineup.
No.
All right. So fake Peter Brown wants to know if... What was that noise?
I think it was Reyes crying.
I think she's having a nightmare. I think she's dreaming about Eric and what's going to happen this weekend. So, all right. So would Sherry, Eric, and Eddie be the worst final three of all time? I guess the first thing we have to do is identify what is the worst final three of all time. Do we go, is it Survivor Nicaragua? Is it Sash, Chase, and Fabio?
I think that would be one of the worst, yes.
Is that the worst final three? Or is it Bob, Susie, and Sugar? I think that might be where I'm going with my money.
That's a pretty bad one, too.
That's a pretty bad one. All right, let me know if we're missing one. Or is it Earl, Dreams, and who was the other one?
There's another.
Cassandra?
There's another one.
Yeah. That might be another one of the worst.
Uh-huh. That was pretty bad.
Yeah. So, yes, the answer to all those questions is yes. Eddie, Sherry, and Eric Reichenbach would be the worst final three. Who's your winner, Nicole? Who wins that?
Eric
Reichenbach. Yeah. There you go.
Definitely. He gets all the votes.
Oh, Reyes is excited. Okay. And one last question. This comes to us from one of our younger listeners. Hopefully was not listening during the Twitter is getting out of me hand segment.
Or Rob taking Brenda's picture in the bathroom.
Hey, Rob. I am a 13-year-old, and I really want to be on Survivor one day.
Oh.
Do you think that Survivor will be on in 10 seasons, because then I'll be able to apply? So please reply back. I love your podcast. They're the best. Seen so many. Thank you for listening. I really hope you listen to this. Bye.
All right, my 13-year-old friend.
Oh, that is a smart kid right there.
Well, let me tell you a little story. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, there was a little 13-year-old boy named Cochrane. And he started watching Survivor with his mom,
mm-hmm,
and his dad,
Arlene,
who didn't have glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And that little boy said, you know what? One day, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Then one day, he got on that show.
It didn't go well the first
time. And it
time.
Was a disaster. But then that little boy said, you know what? Another day, I'm going to get back on that show. And he did. And he's sitting here at the final five. And we could be on the verge of a weekend where he wins the entire game. So to you, my 13-year-old friend, stick with it. Keep your fingers crossed. Who knows what the future holds? But you have to believe in the shield. No. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen with the future of Survivor?
Did you think we would have go this far?
I remember it was like 2001 or 2002, and they announced they were going to do Survivor 3 and Survivor 4. And I was like, oh wow, they're going to do two more. That'll be great, and then it'll be over. And so we are heading into Survivor 26, and after this comes Survivor 27. And so we'll see where it goes from here. I mean. I would say it's a real safe bet. I think we're going to get at least to 30. And then if the show keeps doing well, who knows where we go from there? There's a lot of factors here.
Probst looks like he's having a really good time right now.
I think Jeff Probst is in.
He cried this episode.
Yes, he even cried.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's crying for Brenda.
He's in it for the long haul. The question is, what does the future of broadcast television look like? Because those numbers get bleaker and bleaker every week. Like, the ratings are just falling off a cliff right now. I'm not just talking about for Survivor. I'm talking about for network television. People are just not watching it like they used to.
But that happened with music, too.
Yeah, well, it's happening with TV.
Yeah, that happened with music a few years ago.
So I don't know what the model for broadcast television is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Who knows? But to my 13-year-old friend, I would say...
Keep hope alive.
Yeah, keep hope alive. Well said, Nicole.
Yes.
You know, Nicole, it hasn't just been voicemails that we've been getting from our listeners.
What else are we getting?
Well, our listeners, they're very creative.
Uh-huh.
And they have been, you know, very musically inclined lately.
Ooh.
Yes. And I have a song. I had said I was working on some song parodies last night, and I did not get very far. The closest I came was the Garth Brooks tribute called Dawn Makes Brenda Make Sad Faces. There was a couple of good lyrics, but there just wasn't enough.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
It was a good plan, but...
Yes. And then there was also a feeble attempt at a Dionne Warwick number called... That's why Brenda's sore.
Oh, I don't want to know why Brenda's sore.
She's sore. She's sore with everybody. Okay, but we have somebody, one of our fine staffers at Rob Has the Podcast, Austin Trupp, has a song called Cochran's Mom. You want to hear a little bit of this?
Yes.
All right, take it away. Austin Trupp with Cochran's Mom.
Cochran's mom has got it going on. 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 Cochran, can I come over after tribal? After tribal.
Don't ruin the song.
I'd love to hang with the greatest challenger of them all. Of them all. Did your mom wake up from her long rest? Her long rest. Is she there? Or is she buying you a new sweater vest? New sweater vest. You know I'm not the little fan.
Why was Cochran's mom resting for so long?
A long rest.
A long rest. Was she in a coma?
Was it the big rest?
I hope not. Oh, my God. I hope Cochran's mom is okay.
But she's got it going on.
She's got it going on because she's resting for so long. All right. So, Nicole, I got another song for you.
Another song?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
This is from... All right. Well, we may have a new star in the songwriting world of Rob as a Podcast.
A star has risen?
Star has risen. A lot of people were commenting about the decision last night of who was going to get voted out. And, of course, who was the vote between?
Who
were the two people on the chopping block last night?
Brenda and Eddie?
Yes. All right. So let's take it away. This is from Michael Norris, our breakout star of songwriting. He has a tribute to Billy Joel, Scenes in an Italian Restaurant.
It's his birthday.
Yes. Billy Joel or Michael Norris?
Billy Joel.
All right. Here we go. Take it away. Take it away, Michael.
Brenda and Eddie were the choice to go, but Don could not decide. Eddie would win if he got to the end, but he has no strategic mind. Brenda is much more dangerous. Eddie's just here to become famous. He makes his moves based on who he thinks is hot.
Do you like that?
That was funny.
You like that? You know, and Michael Norris, he's been hard at work. He's got another song.
Another song?
Yeah. You know the song...
You should be ashamed of yourself, Rob. You keep these poor kids out of school.
You know the song... Drops of Jupiter by Train?
Yes.
Oh, here's a little song called Drops of Cochran. You ready? Here we go. Michael Norris, Drops of Cochran.
Now that he's back on a new season, he's got a reputation to bear.
I think Rob just peed his pants.
Michael Norris, on fire.
He acted so awkward last time that he played. He decided that it was time to change.
Michael Norris is so good.
Yes. What do you like? What was your favorite of the three?
I did like Billy Joel. I think Billy Joel was my favorite.
I believe that song is called Scenes from a Barbecue 50 Yards Off of Shore.
Oh, but Brenda wasn't there.
Yeah. Okay. Gordon Holmes, he had in his article today, he ended up naming it something about will she retain her, which in fairness, I had tweeted that a couple weeks ago. But his backup headline was waving Brenda or Eddie goodbye, which I thought was better.
Yes.
Better job there. Mm-hmm. All right. So speaking of Twitter, Nicole, we had Jeff Probst has the big Survivor finale coming up on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So what he was going to do was he wanted to get involved, interactive living room style. He wanted people to, hey, guys, tweet me your questions and I'll ask them at the Survivor finale. It's almost like what we do here on the podcast.
Yes, he's stealing our ideas.
So Jeff Probst said, okay, he took to Twitter and said, let me go ahead and ask everybody, what questions should I ask from the finale? And one of our excellent staffers, Mike Shaheen, put together a list of the top five questions people want to hear asked at the finale in different categories.
Oh, I'd love to hear
okay.
this.
I have here, all right, let me start with all right, top five Malcolm questions. You ready? We'll see how many we do. Okay, here's the top five Malcolm questions, okay? Question number one, how could they vote off the sexiest man to ever be on the show? Okay.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Malcolm question number two. At Jeff Probst, when you're done being the host of Survivor, can you please give your job to Malcolm? Okay.
Just not going to like that one.
Okay. Malcolm, question number three. At Jeff Probst, can you give at Malcolm WHW a million just for being a smexy beast?
Ooh, smexy.
Is that like sexy and Mexican? What is a smexy beast?
It's a sexy Mexican.
Okay. Number four. How much conditioner did Malcolm WHW have with him at Ponderosa? Seriously, his hair was too silky for the day after vote out. That's a good question.
Can we ask Jeff who voted out Reynolds' mustache?
Yes. And question number five for Malcolm for the finale. I don't know if he'll ask this. At Jeff Probst, how did you all find a Survivor buff big enough for Malcolm's huge head? # cocky for no reason. # overrated.
Oh, yeah, he'll ask.
See, it'll be tough for Jeff Probst to integrate the hashtags, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me bounce around here. I've got five other categories, Nicole.
Okay.
I have the top five dumbest questions.
Dumbest.
I have the top five questions that need to be asked.
Mm-hmm. Desperation.
I have the top five WTF questions.
Yeah, WTF questions. Those are always good.
And the top five Cochran questions. What do you want to hear?
I want to hear the top Cochran question.
All right, top five Cochran questions.
No, top the first the top.
Okay. From this is comes to us from at John M. Cochran, who tweets, is Cochran as devastatingly handsome and charming in person as he is on the show? Okay.
He tweeted himself.
Yes. Yes. Okay. This is something that we talked about on the show. This is one of the tweeters wrote to Jeff Probst. What do you say to the allegations that John M. Cochran is on steroids? He used to be nerdy, but now he looks like Barry Bonds.
Mm.
Yeah, I brought this up. I am the first person to bring this up, and I have requested that Cochran pees in a cup on this show.
But he's not roid raging.
Well, we'll see.
Yet.
We'll see. Okay. Another question for Cochran for the finale. This is a real live tweeter said, to Jeff Probst, will John M. Cochran marry my daughter?
Oh, okay. That's nice.
So wants to marry off Cochran. This is like Game of Thrones.
What does his daughter look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. You got to ask that. All right. You want top five dumbest questions or top five WTF questions?
WTF.
Let's start with dumbest, and we'll go to...
Why do you even ask me?
All right, fine. We'll go... Sorry, everybody. Now you'll hear WTF. No dumbest questions for you guys. All right. Top five WTF questions. All right. First one, at Jeff Probst, at Phil Kogan, at Julie Chen, have you guys ever seen an episode of Dancing with the Stars or been an audience member? Okay. I don't know why Phil Kogan or Julie Chen would be at the Survivor finale. But it's a fair question.
That's funny.
Question number two for the Survivor finale. At Jeff Probst, where will reruns of Rock and Roll Jeopardy be aired? The Hub, VH1, GSN, or MTV?
That's a good question.
Okay. Question number three for Jeff Probst. Can we have an all Hants Survivor, please? Not from one of the Hantses. This is number four. This is actually from one of our listeners, Keith Dixon. Says, has Sherry and Reynolds ever been told they can make a living being a Sandra Bullock and J.C. Chazet impersonator, respectively?
Ooh.
Oh, did you know that? And number five, the ultimate WTF question for the finale. there's a bad word in this.
Oh, we like bad words.
Okay. All right. I will paraphrase the bad word.
Just say
okay.
It.
This is from Carolina _D on Twitter. She tweets, at Jeff Probst, what happened to Reynolds Cochran? Was it close to entering Allie?
That is a good question, and I think we need to get to the bottom of it.
Reynolds, gotta know, what was going on? Did you enter Allie?
Did you guys have intercourse?
That might be from Mrs. Reynolds, though.
It might be.
It could be. Mm-hmm. If it's from Mrs. Reynolds, it's a fair question.
We need to ask.
It's a valid question. All right. So, Nicole, okay, let's get into some social media.
Yes.
I was not planning on this being such a long podcast. This is a quick turnaround time to the finale.
Yeah.
Quick turnaround time. All right.
So is there only one podcast left for the season, and that's the Survivor Know-It-Alls?
Yeah, Know-It-Alls.
So this is my last appearance.
Yes, this is. Well, you say you're going to be around on Sunday night.
Am I allowed to be on Survivor Know-It-Alls?
Yeah, you were going to give us your thoughts. I mean, you're not allowed to be a know-it-all.
Obviously.
Yes. Yes. But you're
going to... be false advertising.
Yeah, you'll be around on Sunday night. All right, so let's get into some social media for the episode. Now, we talked about a lot of what the people were tweeting to Dawn, but let's get into some social media. Great job by Jeff Burley this week assembling all of this stuff. All right, here we go. Let's start off with Malcolm at Malcolm WHW. People had lots of questions for him for the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
He says, tonight on Survivor, the jury wanted to dress as the Ninja Turtles, but someone wouldn't play along and dress as Shredder, friggin' Probst. So Malcolm wanted to dress up for the jury. But where is he going to find a Ninja Turtle mask that will fit over his big head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good question, right?
Yeah, that is a good question.
And then Malcolm tweeted...
Is Malcolm winning fan favorite?
Well, funny you should ask. Malcolm then tweeted to everybody, I made Philip go away. I feel that is worth fan favorite. Text 14 to 55455 10 times. Sprinkles.
That is a... that he does make a good case.
Well, if you would like to... if you were very happy when Philip went away and you'd like to repay Malcolm for that, you can text 14 to 55455.
Who are we, as Rob has a podcast franchise, endorsing?
Well, in fairness, nobody really made a push for us to endorse them.
Corinne did kind of ask.
Yes.
Kind of.
Corinne, I'll say this is a little, I don't know if I want to say half-ass or quarter-ass attempt.
It was a lazy attempt.
It was a lazy attempt. Basically, I think Jessica Frey prodded Corinne.
She poked the bear.
And said, hey, Rob hasn't endorsed anybody for fan favorite. And Corinne said, tell at Rob Sesternino, I'm sorry, Jessica Frey tweeted to Corinne, tell at Rob Sesternino to have RHAP endorse you. And Corinne wrote back, ahem, who do I have to ding, marry, and kill for this, Rob?
That was a good response.
That was a good response. Mm-hmm. And then a couple guys wrote back, you could ding me. Yeah. Well, I was not one of them.
Was Eddie one of them?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say then I will half-heartedly endorse Corinne for fan favorite.
I think we need to really endorse somebody to give Malcolm a run for his money.
No, I'm not going to because... You know what? People got mad. People got annoyed with me last time because I endorsed Penner. Yes, it's true. And here's the thing about the endorsement.
Uh-huh.
Somebody comes to me, and let me explain how this will work for future Survivor seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will come to me and say, hey, Rob, I'd really like your endorsement. Here's what I'm willing to do.
Here's what I'll do for you.
It's not like, oh, pick me, help me win $100,000 and you get nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not looking for, hey, I'll split it with you or anything like that. I want somebody to come to me and say, hey, Rob.
I'll take you out to dinner.
Not even that. Here's what I will do for the listeners of Rob as a podcast. If I win the fan favorite, I will do a show, bop, 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 bop. I will do this. I will let, you know, I will, you know, put a Roman candle, bop, 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 whatever. we want something exciting.
We want some action.
Yes, yes. I will give you a...
Well, if Sherry gives me Wetzel's Pretzels.
We'll give a Wetzel's we have a coupon code for a Wetzel's Pretzel for your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want something for me. I want something for the listeners.
And me.
Okay? And for Nicole. And so, but nobody has ever come. I mean, how many times of seasons are we doing this?
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of listeners.
I mean, who knows, you know, what we could actually do, but is it inconceivable that you could have, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 more votes?
And if you work on us early, we could really
work. Not everybody's going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I, if I was trying to win fan favorite, I would like a couple thousand more votes.
Of course.
Okay.
That could put you over the edge.
Yeah. But I think that we've seen some shoddy play this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's some more shoddy play going on with a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. A couple other questions. Stephen Fishback tweeted, important question. Is at Sherry Beathman wearing the same swimsuit that Monica Padilla wore in Survivor Samoa? A little creepy that Steven
is a little creepy, Steven.
Keeping such
you
a
pervert.
Such a close tab on everybody's bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
always has jugs on the brain, that Fishback.
I couldn't even tell you anything about Sherry's bathing suit.
I know she looks good in it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is a tweet from Russell Hance. This was big news today. At Russell Hance tweeted today, Brandon Hance will not be at the live show due to Phillip's wussy. I changed that. Ass. Asterisk.
You're being a wussy.
Now, yeah. Now he uses the word ass with an asterisk. Is that officially an asterisk? RT, please, smiley face. So, Nicole, let's discuss. Big news. Are you buying this? Russell Hance saying Brandon Hance will not be at the finale due to Phillip's wussy ass.
I am concerned for Phillip's safety.
Well, there was, you know, we reported it on the show back and forth for several weeks of I'm going to fight you. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to, you know, and Phillip said, hey, that's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
That's assault, brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
But he did say he was a street fighter.
He did say he was a street fighter on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But this, the last I checked, the Survivor finale did not occur in the street.
Yes.
Should Brandon Hance be allowed at the finale, Nicole?
I think the way that he exited the game, I don't think it's probably not a good idea.
So if this is true, that Brandon Hance will not be at the live show due to Phillip's wussy ass, does that make Phillip the author of Brandon's fate?
I think it does.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But Russell will be there.
Russell will be there?
Russell said he will be there.
There will be Russell?
There will be Russell.
Okay. As far as Brandon Hance goes, I think Brandon Hance should be at the finale.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should be there, but I think he should be there in
handcuffs,
a straitjacket a la Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Like when they bring Hannibal in the mask and then, all right, Jeff.
That would be really good TV.
I think that would be great TV.
Yeah.
Jeff can walk over like, all right, let's talk to Brandon Hance. Like he's like one of the zombies on The Walking Dead when they have him like.
And they have a thing around his neck.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like trying to
bite. And Phillip is holding the thing.
The microphone. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that Russell's going to be at the finale.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good. It should be a great show.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be there live at the finale.
We'll be at the after party.
Yeah, we'll go and see everybody after the show, but I will not be in the building like last season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll see what happens there with Russell and keep an eye on social media. Eliza had a
Eliza's been quiet the past
she's been
few
quiet
weeks,
but she
she's just traveling.
Yeah, she was
when
not
I grow up I want to be just like Eliza.
Yeah, she was not happy really with Dawn either. She tweeted, it is a game, but you're still the person you are in the game when you get home, and you have to live with that. Hashtag Survivor got real.
Yeah, but if she, you know,
it just got real.
If she's got the $1 million, I'm sure she could live with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Russell Hance had another one in a conversation with Eliza. Russell Hance said, holy S at me hand. You voted out Brenda tonight. WTF, everything she supported you with? I guess your reply will be, it's just a game, right? And Eliza wrote, I know, right? And people think you are a villain.
Oh,
hashtag.
She went there.
You're a villain. You're like a hero's callback.
I got it.
Yeah. All right. And Russell also said they need to do an all villain season. No, I said that from before. And he also said, I'm going to endorse Meehan for fan favorite just because I hate everyone else.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Okay. And then he retracted that an hour and a half later and said, I now take back my support for Meehan as fan favorite and think Brenda should conveniently win. Please, all my fans, retweet hashtag karma. Okay? So, yeah. Very, very interesting. And then we also found out from the secret scenes this week that last week Andrea gave her idol to Dawn before the first tribal when Reynolds got voted out because Dawn was paranoid, and then Dawn gave it back.
Oh, and then Dawn voted her out.
And then Dawn voted her out the other time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Nicole. All right, so let's see. We talked about voicemails. We talked about we played our game.
There can't be more.
No, I don't think that there's anything more. This was a long podcast.
Yeah.
It was a long podcast.
Well, All right. It's the last Thursday of Survivor.
Last Thursday of Survivor. No Big Brother Canada tonight. We are closing in on the end of the perfect storm of reality TV.
And just in time.
Yes, just in time. We're going to take a little bit. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to take a bit of a hiatus after the Survivor season is over.
I think it's a much needed hiatus.
A much needed hiatus. Mm-hmm. And I stand by that. But there's a little bit more to the hiatus. I actually really would like to recharge the battery a little bit. I think conservatively, I think between now, from February 1st until now, I think I've recorded somewhere between about 75 to 85 podcasts in the last, 100 days or so.
You're like a machine.
I am like a machine, yes.
Yes.
So I would
and
like...
not just in...
Okay, let's... If this is about Brenda and the picture in the bathroom one more time. Yeah, so I would like to take a little bit of recharge the battery, and I like to do some things to try to take a look at the big picture.
Yes.
In some ways, but
and we're going to leave you guys wanting more.
Yes. And also, but in addition to that, Nicole and I are actually moving apartments.
Yes.
Yes. So in the next couple of weeks, this is actually going to be one of the last podcasts that is coming to you live from this apartment.
From this apartment. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the new apartment for you, at least for you guys, at least when you see the live show, will look similar to...
I think it'll look nicer.
You guys aren't walking around the house.
Maybe we should give them a tour.
Maybe we should give you a tour. But from what you're seeing from the webcam, it's going to look pretty damn similar. Okay. So we are going to be moving, and in the next couple of days or so, once we get through the Survivor finale, we're going to start beginning to pack things up.
Yeah, we're going
to
pack it up.
So at some point, I'm going to be needing to disconnect all of the podcast stuff, and then eventually...
We might not have internet.
Yes, and we're going to cancel the internet. At some point, we will need to reassemble that. So it's going to be... Just bear with us a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have more information about all this on Sunday, and I'll have a better idea what the schedule is going to look like come Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So just bear with us here as Nicole and I are getting ready to...
We're packing up.
We've recorded over 550 podcasts in this apartment, and it's almost the end of an era.
This is where it started.
This is where it started, in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And only a couple more shows to go here in this room, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Some other podcaster is going to move in and take over.
Are you going to say bye to your naked neighbor?
Yeah, well, I'll be sad about the naked neighbor. Although the naked neighbor hasn't been naked that often.
This is what happens when she gets in a serious relationship.
Yeah, I think I don't know. They got a dog.
Always ruins
the
it.
The dog did ruin it. All right, so...
What kind of dog did they get?
I'll show you later.
Okay.
Okay. So thanks everybody who's been using our links for Amazon.com. We greatly appreciate it when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Sunday night, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, Stephen Fishback and I will be live after the 3-hour finale. Nicole, you want in on this? Dawn Meehan, over under 3.5 times crying during the 3-hour show. Over or under?
Does she have any more tears left?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, she's got to be dehydrated already.
Over or under 3.5? This includes the reunion show.
I'm gonna take the under.
Take the under. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on that on Sunday night. I know you guys will as well. And I'll be live tweeting along the way Sunday night. Follow me on Twitter at Rob Sesternino. Will you be tweeting during the show?
I will. I will live tweet.
Okay. There you go. Follow at Nicole Loves Shoes as we live tweet a Survivor 26 finale and head into the long Survivor summer after this is all comes to an end. Who's your pick?
Cochran.
Yeah. I mean, They haven't given me anybody else. I mean, unless they vote out Cochran in, you know, the final five, final four. And maybe this is what people were saying in Survivor of the Amazon. People were like, who else could win? Who's going to win? Matt? Jenna?
Yeah.
Butch? It has to be Rob.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks to everybody, to your support. Send something nice to Dawn, will you guys?
Be nice to Dawn, yes. Send something nice.
Send something nice to Dawn. Use the hashtag RHAP so she knows that we're trying.
That we're behind
you,
too.
We're trying.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy your finale weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Sunday night. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.